We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The cokes are in the ice box.
It is the Nick DiGiulio show. Only Nick ain't here, man. Hi, I'm Harry. I'm Harry Tynowitz. I was told there'd be food here. I'm happy to be in for Nick. I'm with you till 5 in the morning, and it's a pleasure to be with you guys tonight. We have a lot of stuff to do on the show. We have a lot of fun things going on. I'm glad you could be with us. We, as always, invite you to be a part of it all. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 if you're scoring along at home. You can text in, you can call in, and either way, we'd love to have you be with us. With you till 5 a.m., and Ben Anderson is executively producing the show this evening. Vic Vaughn will be doing updates, and me, I am here, and my wife could not be happier that I'm not at home. So, let's begin the festivities, shall we? There is a stat out now that says that because there are now 10 states that have legalized marijuana, of course, it's legalized all throughout Canada, and it is legalized in 10 states. In Illinois, it has been decriminalized. You do not get in trouble anymore should you get pulled over and you have some what do they call it, icky weed? What do these kids call it these days? Grass, stuff like that. They say now that the average workplace, three times the number of people that have tested positive in the past are now testing positive at work, meaning that the number of people smoking pot in your workplace has gone up 33%. My question for you guys tonight is, do you know who they are? Have you noticed people at work that are coming in high, that are stoned? Now, they don't have to be stoned at the moment to test positive for work, because obviously it stays in your system for a couple months. But the question is, do you notice people now that you think didn't before, but now, because the penalty is a lot less than it used to be, there is no bad thing that happens to you. Do you notice people at work that are coming in high? And my other question would be, is it you? Are there people out there that haven't smoked pot in a while that are now smoking it, or people that have maybe never tried it that are now smoking it? They are saying that more adults are smoking than ever before. So 312-981-7200, are there people coming into your workplace or people that you know at work that you think are suddenly getting high? We'd love to know. Ben Anderson, you claim which side of this coin?
I'm not a partaker, but I'm not against those that do.
Mm-hmm.
I say to each their own. But I'd say for me, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more on the legal side in our state, considering our financial status, etc.
Well, you
as long as it's not affecting somebody's, work in the workplace, or their status, or
some people might be better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Vic Vaughn is here doing updates all night. Vic, have you, without naming names, without mm-hmm. getting your coworkers in trouble,
right,
have you said to yourself, boy, you know what? I think that person is baked. Or I think
that's
they're
funny. Ah, man. No. I have not. I honestly have never thought at this station, wow, he seems high. No, I never have. Not here. Now, previous jobs I've been at, certainly. Certainly.
Where was the previous job?
I've had other. I've had an array of them, but one of them was counter-narcotic surveillance. So that one, obviously. But
yeah, I would think
some of the subjects that were under being surveilled. But I won't name any places by name. But there's been some jobs that I had before I got into media where I worked outside a lot, and I actively saw some employees partaking in that. So I don't think it's a great idea to be doing that at work, no matter where you work, right? Because unless your employer knows, because otherwise you're lying about it, and that's never good. But other types of jobs where you just shouldn't be under the influence of anything, any type of job where you're behind the wheel, you certainly shouldn't be partaking in marijuana, right?
Well, yeah, and absolutely. I mean, if your job is like to operate a forklift, that's the last thing you want to be doing. If your job is to be, you know, flying a plane, that's the last thing you want to be doing.
And you know, I mean, I think there's probably people who would argue even in jobs where safety may not be an issue, but you're expected to maintain a certain level of thought process. It's got to be spot on. And even in those cases where you may not have safety related issues, but it might impact your work.
Yeah, right. I would think so. Here's somebody checking in, checking in from the 773, saying, I once worked at a place, I shall not name it to protect the guilty, where I was literally the only person who didn't smoke. Even the store owners smoked. I didn't care, though. I made money, so I was happy. Here's somebody, another guy from the 773. I have a coworker who smokes every day. The brownies and cookies are popular these days. Kaylee, thank you, Kaylee, for checking in. You know, so your boss does not have the right to say, oh, I won't interview you because I think you are, a pothead. But any boss that owns a private company has the right to set his own rules. And if they have a zero tolerance policy, then too bad, so sad, you're out. So you got to follow what the boss says. Again, 312-981-7200. Every day, that's a little extreme, but you got to appreciate the commitment.
It seems like such shaky ground right now, too, right? Because you have it is legal in certain cases in Illinois, if it's prescribed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not legal if you haven't been given a prescription. It's illegal federally. So even if you're using it legally, let's say you have a prescription, you're still on this shaky ground where you have, like you said, best idea is to check the policies where you work and then make sure that you're following the state's policy, because there are policies for those that are even using it legally, how much you can have on you, how much you can purchase for the month. I think
like it's an ounce,
a couple ounces, maybe an ounce a month, a couple ounces a month.
And I know that Colorado, the first state to do it, and Washington State, they are seeing huge financial windfall. We are going to step away for just a second, but calls are lining up. We encourage you. Be a part of it all. 312-981-7200. In the latest survey, three times the people, three times as many as before, are now testing positive for marijuana at work. Have you noticed people who you think are smoking pot? Now, are you somebody who hasn't smoked it in the past, but because the laws have changed, are you now partaking? We're going to step away for just a moment. Nick DiGiulio could not be here tonight. He is very upset that he could not be with you, but I'm here. I'm Harry. You recognize me, of course, from Saturdays. I'm on the beat with Mark Carmen. He's a whole other problem. He doesn't smoke, but he acts like he's high all the time. He just walks in the walls and stuff for no reason. 312-981-7200. Do you see people around here that are smoking pot at work? This is WGN 720. Well, you're telling me you don't get high and you're playing songs like this. Come on, Ben! 312-981-7200. Here is the story. The story is, research now shows, according to a study from the EHS Daily Advisor, that three times the people are testing positive at work for marijuana use. That is because of the fact that 10 states now have legalized it, and the penalties are not so severe in many, many other states. Of course, all of Canada, take off, hosiery, all of Canada is smoking the wacky weed legally. And then they watch hockey. So, you know, we are not, who are we to say whether it's good or bad? We're just saying, you know, we're not supporting it. We're not, against it. We're just saying, we're asking the question, I'm asking you, have you noticed people at work that maybe in the past weren't, but now they are smoking pot? Give us a call. In for Nick, it's Harry on WGN 720. This would be Tom in Arlington Heights. Tom, thanks for playing. You're on WGN Radio. What's growing on?
Good morning, Harry. Just a couple top or points I'd like to make. Mm-hmm. So
make them both.
My son's studying chemistry, and I asked him the question, you know, what's the biggest difference between alcohol and pot? And he said, well, alcohol, the part of the brain it hits is when you see something you have to respond to, and I'm thinking driving example, you respond to it, but you're slowed. Your reactions are slowed, but you get around to responding to it. With THC, the part of the brain it affects, apparently makes you not perceive what you're seeing as a problem that you need to react to. So it's a completely different dynamic in how the brain is affected. So I look at the way, my second point is that with the legalization of marijuana, be it for medicinal purposes or for recreational use, I look at that and I say about the industries that are growing this substance or distributing it, if you just did it for the people who need it for the medical purpose, but in the recreational purpose, the objective of these companies is not just to supply the people. Let's say 25% of the population currently uses the product. Well, their goal is not to just maintain their supply or their money making to 25%. They're going to try to grow the distribution and grow the product as most capitalist countries or companies would. So I look at that and I say to myself, so is that the thing that the nation is aspiring to? I think the guy's name was Spicoli, the Sean Penn character in the 60s movie. Did you look at the guy next to him in high school that's kind of a dropout or a dopey guy, and that's where we're aspiring to become? You know, I just don't get the narrative there in terms of, you know, you're going to grow this product, and are you going to try to get half the population on pot? Are you, you know, what's your marketing to try to get more people to use it? It's just beyond me where we're moving with this.
Well, okay, first of all, you're talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, that's the one.
A film classic, some will tell you. You know, yes. I think, you know, the National Football League, the Players Union, is trying to get pot, okayed in the testing. Players get tested. If you're a veteran player, you get tested at the beginning of training camp, and if you test, you know, clean, then you don't get tested again. But there are guys that have had trouble with it, like Josh Gordon, who's not playing in the Super Bowl for the Patriots. You know, they're not like trying, I don't think they're trying to get people on it. I think what it is that certain people, you know, do it recreationally, and then other people do it because they have to. If you've got a medical marijuana card, and you know, your company, there's somebody on the text screen texting in from the 773 saying that they would love to do it, but the IDOT does not allow it. So if your job specifically says you can't do it, then you can't do it. But otherwise, it has been decriminalized. But Tom, you know, your son's a chemist. You know what's coming next, right? I'm just saying, you know, hey, Dad, try this.
So, yeah, and that's the thing. Like I say, it's just, I guess I'd make the analogy. If you try to give, you made the association with the athletes trying to do pot, it would be interesting to see a football game with everybody stoned.
Right.
They'd see a pass coming, and, what am I supposed to catch that pass? Or it's just the way it affects your brain chemistry. Boggling that, yeah.
But I don't think the athletes are planning on running out on Super Sunday and being stoned at 5:38 Chicago time. I think what they're saying is that the best way that they can get ready, that they can recover from the championship game to the Super Bowl, is if a little bit of pot is okay. Tom, thank you.
Right.
We're going to hit news with Vic. I appreciate you calling. Thank you very much, sir. We're going all night long. We got fun stuff, and we need you to participate. We encourage you to participate, whether you're texting it or calling in 312-981-7200. I'm Harry in for Nick DiGiulio. We'll be right back with news on 720 WGN.
you don't have to worry, 'cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, baby.
It is February. Happy February, everybody. It is Black History Month, so we're playing music from some of the greatest singers, musicians of our time. That Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye had to record an album to pay for a divorce. It happens. It must be nice to be able to just cut an album and take care of all that alimony money. That's very good. Marvin Gaye shot by his dad, killed by his father. Man, I thought it was bad when my dad washed my mouth out with soap. I guess Marvin, tells a different story. It is T-minus 2 days until Super Sunday. I remember the Bears Super Bowl. That would be my favorite Super Bowl. The Bears Super Bowl where they won. Super Bowl 20 against the Patriots. January 26th, 1986, 46-10 Bears. And I remember, the first Super Bowl I watched as a little kid. I remember my favorite Super Bowls. I think of Super Bowls as, I had a Super Bowl, the 49ers-Bengals, the first one. I watched it with my friend Tom and my friend Mark Sebastian. And we watched it at Mark's house in Evanston. And neither one of those guys are with us anymore, and it really sucks. And so I've got great memories of the Super Bowl, and I've got some memories that like leave a bad taste in my mouth. But to me, if you're American, you are watching the Super Bowl on Sunday. This Sunday, 75% of the country will watch the Super Bowl. It is always the most watched show in America. 72% last year, they are expecting 75% of the people to watch the Super Bowl. So let's talk Super Bowl now. I want to know where you're watching it. Are you hosting it? Are you going to a friend's house? Are you going to a party? I always liked either hosting it or going to a friend's house. I did not like going out. If you go out, you miss a lot. And Tony and Don, buddies of mine, we would go, they'd say, let's go to this bar. Let's go to that bar. You go there and there's 100,000 people there and, you're drinking your shots out of plastic shot glasses, which I hate because you spill like 20% of the shot, on the way up to your mouth. And, you're ordering food and it takes a while. I think if you have the party, if you go to the party, you control more and you don't miss as much. Even if you're watching every single play as alertly as possible, if you're in public, you miss a lot of action. If you're at home, you don't. So they say the average American will spend $81 Super Sunday. Now, they say most of this money is spent on food, on beverages, and on alcoholic beverages. 10% of it is spent on new apparel. So obviously, T-shirts, $20, $30, jersey, depending on if it's real, if it's authentic Mitchell and Ness, or if it's just, a fun, cool jersey, that's getting a little pricier. But what are you spending your $81 on? And then there's the other side of this coin, because they flip a coin to start the game. The other side of this coin would be if you're not watching the Super Bowl, if you're in the 25% of America that is not watching the Super Bowl, what the hell are you watching? Super Sunday? Do whatever you want, but 5:30, get in front of the set because the game is starting. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. I have two kids, Ben. My daughter is 18. She's a senior in high school, and my son is in seventh grade. He's 13, and they are not big sports fans. My daughter used to love the Blackhawks when the Blackhawks won all the time.
Wait. Your kids aren't sports fans?
No, and it just kills me. But I want them to be happy, and I'm not going to force it. I was one of those kids, at 10 years old, I could tell you every player on every team and their college and, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were. And I just loved watching the game, and I loved watching it with my dad, and my dad loved watching it with me. And even when he would go to his friend's house, he'd bring me with him. Somebody had to mix the cocktails.
You tell me things about teams I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, they were there. But, you know, I mean, Dad and I, you know, because, like, back in the day, as they say, back in the day, you know, the Bears games were blacked out if they weren't sold out at home. So we had to go over to Mr. Drobny's house, and because he could put his antenna towards South Bend, and we would watch the Bears game from South Bend. It was really cool. So other people would say, oh, I didn't see the game, but, you know, we saw it. Now, of course, every game is on TV. Yeah. And, you know, I love going out and I, you know, to friends' houses or to parties, and I love having friends over, and I've got some great stories that we can get into, but I really want my kids to watch the Super Bowl, because not only is it for me, you know, but I think it's for them. I think that, like, you need to watch the Super Bowl because it's going to come up in school. It's going to come up, you know, if it doesn't come, you know, you get to school the next day, you're in seventh grade, everyone's talking about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge part of pop culture now.
Right, yeah. And also it's, you know, the commercials.
Yeah, well, that's how you get them in, Harry. You just, we're watching for the commercials. That's what you tell them.
Right, and, you know, and my it's weird because my son will watch for the, see, my daughter loves going to games. My daughter will go to the game, and she'll get really, really into it, and she'll really cheer for, you know, the Sox or the Cubs. You know, we cheer for both baseball teams in my house. We are bisexual. And
because I see what you did there.
Thank you. Well, the reason for that is simple, because growing up, I'm a little older than you, Ben, by probably like 6 months. But I'm a little older than you, and the Cubs and Sox, they played each other once a year as an exhibition game. They never played each other for real.
Uh-huh.
My dad loved the Sox. My mom loved the Cubs. My dad grew up on the GVS, the Great Fest Side. My mom grew up like four blocks from Wrigley Field. So I could go to both games, and I, you know, gravitate towards both teams. But my son will go to a game, and he'll want to eat. You know, so I think he gets that from my side of the family.
Okay.
My daughter goes to the games, and she's really into them. But, like, when the game's on TV, my daughter used to watch every Hawks game. I mean, every Hawks game with me. You know, Tuesday night, Hawks-Columbus, she'd watch with me. And the Hawks play the Sabres tomorrow night, 5:30. Bowden's got your pregame right here on 7:20, 6 o'clock, John and Troy. Hawks-Sabres. Sabres are really good this year. But they like, won't watch, like, a Bears game. And I insisted that they watch the Bears playoff game.
Yeah.
So now all they do is they make Cody Parkey jokes.
Well, yeah, them and the rest of the city.
Yeah, everybody makes Cody Parkey jokes. It's easy, right?
Yeah.
But I insist that they watch the Super Bowl, and like, you know, Reggie will remind me, he'll go, oh, like that commercial from 2 years ago where the dog is making friends with the Clydesdale. I'm like, how do you remember that? So, like, it sticks with him. But he doesn't remember, like, you know, the Philly special. He doesn't remember that, you know, Trey Burton, the tight end, threw a touchdown pass to Nick Foles, the backup quarterback. But he remembers the commercial. So whatever gets him, you know, whatever gets you through the night, whatever gets him in. So I insist they watch the Super Bowl. I'd go to Super Bowl parties. I've had couples break up at Super Bowl parties. I've had couples get caught in, unusual circumstances in Super Bowl parties, which is always fun, you know, just to see them walk out afterwards, you know, the walk of shame.
Yeah.
But you know, I love the Super Bowl, and it's a blast, and, you know, you got to watch. I've been to four of them. Have you ever been?
I've never been.
You got to go once. Put on your bucket list. Just go once. Now, Mark Kerman, my dear friend and partner on the beat, he is at Super Bowl for Super Bowl week. Adam Hoge, another good, very good friend. Hoge is down there. He's on the air every day. And
he was talking to some great Bears, former Bears players today. I don't know if you
I heard Urlacher. I heard Robbie Gold. The Robbie Gold sound.
Robbie Gold was fantastic. It was a great interview.
He was making news with Robbie Gold.
Yeah.
Robbie said he wants to come back here.
Uh-huh.
And
I hope he does. I'm a huge Robbie Gold fan.
Well, it's the old Joni Mitchell song. You know, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
And he is the all-time leading scorer for the Bears. My favorite Bears kicker will always be Kevin Butler. Butthead is the coolest. He's the greatest. If you met him, you would understand why. So Kevin Butler is the coolest kicker ever. And he was supposed to get married on the weekend of the Super Bowl. He was a rookie, but he pushed his wedding back. And I love kickers because Kevin Butler was like the first football player that I made friends with. And okay. I wasn't going over to his house and having, you know, sandwiches with him, but he would always, you know, remember my name. He'd always be friendly. And, you know, at training camp, guys are doing 2-a-days and they're practicing so hard and they're sweating and they're killing themselves. And Butthead's got his golf clubs out. You know, I mean, it's just, you gotta love the kicker. And, you know, so yeah, Adam Hogue is there, and see, Adam will go to the game. Carm will come back. We never went to the game. We would get to go there for Super Bowl week, and you'd interview like, you know, big stars. You'd interview like Archie Manning, or you'd interview Peyton Manning. You'd interview, there'd be movie stars. We'd interview Adam Sandler several times. We interviewed Hugh Jackman, and you know, it's really cool. But then, you know, we'd come home Super Bowl Sunday. Well, when the Bears play the Colts, I'm already there, right? The station paid for my flight. The station paid for my hotel room. So I just stayed an extra 2 days went to the game.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, you'd go and you'd come back. You'd be there on Radio Row where Adam Hogue is. And, you know, you can catch Adam tomorrow on the air. And then he's also going to join Roe and Anna. But you'd go for the week and then you'd come home afterwards. So we went to Indiana. The Indianapolis Super Bowl was in Indianapolis. I believe it was the Giants and Patriots. And of course, Eli Manning was a big underdog twice against the Pats, and twice he won. And there's this one restaurant in Indianapolis that I've heard of. It's the only restaurant that I know, and it's called St. Elmo's. They're known for their shrimp cocktail sauce.
Uh-huh.
And you walk in, and there's a bar, and it's just buzzing, and it's packed. And it's packed every night, but, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, it's really packed. And we walked in, and they said, you know, they weren't letting people in. That's how long the wait was. They just weren't letting people in. So, I started just, you know, doing the Jedi mind trick thing. And the next thing you knew, we were sitting at a table. We were at a table between Brian Billick, the coach of the Ravens, and Troy Aikman. And I could not eat dinner. You know how much I love food? I love dinner. I could not eat dinner because the biggest thing in the world, okay, like I love the Sears Tower, and I've been to Mount Rushmore, and I have seen, you know, some of the biggest, you know, things in the world, but there's nothing bigger in all of America than Troy Aikman's hands.
Really?
He has the largest hands. Like, he is the anti-Trump when it comes to hands. Troy Aikman, like, he had an itch on his cheek, and he went to scratch it, and he knocked down one of the walls at St. Elmo's Steakhouse. That's how big his hands were. During the war, my father was stationed on Troy Aikman's hands. Now, Troy Aikman's hands were, like, really, really big. Like, if you said, you know, hey, Troy, you know, reach in and grab a beer for me, he could take out a case of beer with just his hands. So, I mean, it's really exciting because you're around all these players and you're around all these people and stuff. And I got to go to Super Bowl 20 and just, you know, had a blast. And we should talk more about that now. So my questions right now for you are you going to host it, or are you going to someone's house? And if you're not going to the Super Bowl, then what the heck are you doing with your Super Bowl Sunday? We'll step away for 1 second. I'm going to take a look at the text, and I will wait for you to jump in. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGiulio has the night off. Me, I'm Harry. I'm here for you. This is WGN Radio 720. We celebrate Black History Month on WGN Radio. It's awfully hard to outcool Stevie Wonder. On Sunday, Tom Brady will try to outcool Stevie Wonder. Brady has 5 Super Bowl rings. He has the most rings of anybody that's ever played quarterback in the NFL. Joe Montana had 4. Tom Brady has 5. He's going for number 6. Did not get it last year, and I don't think he's going to get it this year. I'll tell you why in a little bit. But in the meantime, I'm looking at the text screen. Somebody wants to know, is Nick okay? Yeah, Nick's fine. Nick is fine. His apartment is not that great. It's got a little something to do with the heat issue, I believe. Nick works every night for the last 12 years, so I believe Nick has the night coming, and I'm happy to be here. Now, I asked you guys if you weren't going to be in the 75%, if you're in the 25 percentile and you're not watching the Super Bowl, what are you watching Sunday? Ben Anderson, executive producing tonight. Ben, this woman says she's watching PBS. I don't know what's on PBS. I know that there's usually, like, you know, TNT will have a Law and Order marathon, and the Sci-Fi Channel's been known to have a Twilight Zone marathon. Ben, have you checked? Have you found other things that are going up against the Super Bowl?
Yeah, there's a few things going on. Counterpart is going to be on Stars starting at 8 o'clock.
Counterpart.
Yeah, it's a sci-fi drama. Takes place in like a parallel world created after an experiment gone wrong 30 years ago. So
okay.
Never seen it.
That's how Kevin Powell was born.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right. What else do we have? HBO starting at 8 o'clock has got True Detective on. So for those True Detective fans out there, they can tune into some True Detective action.
But again, I don't know why you'd miss the game for that.
I don't know about that.
If you have HBO, you know, they show it 1,000 times.
So the next two I have that I found would be probably your kids' alternative programming.
Uh-oh.
TBS has The Hunger Games on, starting at 5.
My daughter is a big fan of The Hunger Games, or at least she was. You know, she's probably, Dad, I'm so past that now.
So the way you play it, Harry, is, you know, we can't watch it, the game's on. Yeah.
I see.
And then, for the other side of that demographic, USA has Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, starting at 7 p.m. by J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, you know, again, these are things that are going to be on 72 times. I don't know how you're not watching the game, how you're not going to the game. I just, you know, if you're not going to a friend's house, then are you going to, be going to a party? Are you having people over? And then the other thing is, Sam, is like, what would be your ideal spread? Because I think most people would tell you that, like, for a Super Bowl, you know, they want to get pizza. Pizza is like a very popular thing, and we've been known to get a bunch of pizza, especially with the kids. And the kids love, you know what they love is they love that giant sub sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, like you get like the 50-foot Subway. You know, you get like the 20-foot sub sandwich. The kids love that. One year we got Chinese.
That's a good idea.
Well, we went the other way.
Yeah,
you know, we went the other way. We had a Chinese Super Bowl.
It's football. So for me, I've always grilled. Always grilled.
You grill outdoors?
Yeah.
So, okay, it's going to be like, well, actually Sunday it's going to be nice.
Yeah, well, this year, yeah.
I mean,
but even when it's cold out, I don't care. I want the grill going while I'm enjoying the game.
This is how messed up we are now. Is I woke up this morning and it was 18 below, and it said that tomorrow morning at the same time it would be 15 degrees.
Yep.
A 33 degree hike. And I have never been more excited for 15 degrees above zero in my life.
I'm breaking out the shorts.
I understand.
Everybody's been saying it, but I'll do it.
Tank top? You going tank top?
I won't go that far. I'll probably do a hoodie on top. Be a little half sensible.
Okay, I'm wearing my Patriots throwback hoodie tonight.
I wondered what you were going to be sporting, because I see you wearing your different sports attire around the station here all the time.
Right, I have a lot of jerseys. Oh, if I could have the money back I spent on first dates and jerseys. So I've got two Patriots jerseys. I've got a Willie McGinnis autographed jersey, and I've got a Drew Bledsoe jersey, the old one, like the blue.
I've seen you with the Bledsoe.
It's like the bright blue, bright red. And then I've got a Torrey Holt Rams Road uni. Rams will be wearing the home colors on Sunday. They'll be in the throwback blue and yellow, and the Pats will be in the white and silver. So this is the Patriots' old logo, and I love wearing it because, you know, I'm in a program. I had a bad ride home about 8 years ago, and I'm I'm 2 months away. Man, I'm getting really close. I'm like 5 weeks away from hitting 8 years. But I can't say I have 8 years yet. I've still got 7 years. But hopefully, if I don't screw it up, in about 5 weeks, March 6th, I'll hit 8 years. So what I love about this sweatshirt, this hoodie, is my friends that aren't in the program, Ben, they'll look at it and they'll go, man, that is such a cool New England Patriots throwback. And my friends that are in the program will look at it and go, man, I love your Sam Adams hoodie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, there you have it. It's all perception. It's all how you see things. It's all how you see things and then the way you do it. I was at one Super Bowl party where I went, and I was the only person there.
Really?
Yes. I was told all these people were coming, and I got there, and it was like 20 minutes before kickoff, and I was the only person there.
So what is your go-to must-have during the game for food?
Well, I think the trick with Super Bowl is you got to layer your event. And now,
agreed.
Now you're in my wheelhouse, yeah. Because if you say, what are you having, and you say pizza,
yeah, no,
that's not going to do it. I mean, I go all out. I got, the cocktail franks.
Uh-huh.
You call them pigs in blankets?
Yep.
I've got like the little baby quiches. I'm secure enough in my masculinity to offer up a tray of baby quiche.
Those are good.
Yes, little meatballs. Now my wife, when she was not so angry with me, she would make meatballs, and she's great at it.
Oh, nice.
Her secret ingredient is jelly. She puts grape jelly.
I've know several people that do that. It's pretty good.
So I guess now it's not a secret anymore.
Well, it depends. Depends on which way you want to go.
Now she's got another reason to be upset with me.
Well, you just said jelly, because, I mean, it could be marmalade, could be, preserves, could,
I didn't say grape jelly.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't break it down for us, so.
That's good. But, so, I mean, you got to layer your, it's an event.
I agree.
It's such a long day.
Speaking of layers, that is one of my must-haves. Guy have to have that 7-layer taco dip.
It's strong.
When I'm watching the game, yeah.
And what do you use? What do you dip in there? The 7-layer
scoops. You gotta get the Tostito scoops.
That's what you do.
Yep. That's the one I have to have. Everything else is just kind of, I enjoy it and I like it, but I gotta have that 7-layer dip. That's
so
starter.
We would make we would make punch. Like, we would make, like, a alcoholic punch back in the day. Like,
Passion punch?
Right. No, I don't want to say, like, sangria. It was more like passion punch, planter's punch. And we would put it in tubs, and then we would throw fruit in there.
Yeah.
But
we
wouldn't slice the fruit. We would just, like, put in bananas, whole bananas or whole plums. Do you know why you don't slice the fruit?
I'm curious to your reasoning.
Because the alcohol will seep into the fruit, and it will become like more potent than it actually is. So you eat the banana that's been sitting in the alcohol for an hour, and it's like if it were 80 proof, now it's 90 proof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bananas with a kick. You gotta
like
love it.
Yeah, I like that.
Super Bowl prop talk is on the way. We're having a lot of fun tonight. In for Nick DiGiulio, me, I'm Harry. It is 2 o'clock. Now we know it's Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm Harry, and for Nick DiGiulio on WGN, with you until 5 o'clock this morning. Black History Month is upon us, so we're celebrating by listening to some of the greatest music coming at us from a whole bunch of African-American artists. Earth, Wind, and Fire, I saw them about 30 years ago at the old Chicago Stadium. They were great. My high school, the parties we had at my high school, usually on Friday night, the Nevin brothers would have them, and on Saturday night, we would have them. And Earth, Wind, and Fire was played constantly. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors was played, and Rolling Stones were played. And Earth, Wind, and Fire were played. And when you heard the song Shining Star, you had to get up and dance with that girl that you liked because, Shining Star for me to see. shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. It was a very up-tempo song, but as soon as it was over, it would go in a house of fire, and you'd slow dance, like right up against them. So that was the trick. Be dancing with them during Shining Star, and good things awaited. We want to know all about the Super Bowl. What are your plans for the Super Bowl? Your favorite, okay, what are you doing for the Super Bowl, the game itself, in terms of $81? The average American is spending $81. How are you spending your $81? And also, favorite Super Bowl commercial was the last question that Ben posed. This is Tom in Racine, Wisconsin. We go north of the border. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. You're on WGN.
Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say, I know you were mining just Super Bowl rings, but remember, Bart Starr has five championship rings.
He has championship rings, yes, but not...
Well, not the Super Bowl rings, but the problem with that is, especially you, you're a Bears fan, if you only go by Super Bowls, you only got one. The Bears have 9 championships.
Right.
Why belittle the Bears? Why belittle the Bears and say they only have one? They have 9. The Patriots have 6, so guess what? The Bears are a better team. Now, they've been around a lot longer than the Patriots, but in actuality, they got 9 championships. The Patriots only have 5. Is it 5? Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, and I want, yeah, they have 5, and Brady won them all, and they've also lost 6. So, I am not a Packers fan, obviously, but I've always respected the Packers organization. I've always respected the Packers fans. Very knowledgeable, very loyal. They fly all over the country supporting them. And I've always respected, like, the Packers of old, with the exception of Forrest Gregg, who's just a cheap shot artist. Bart Starr was like a 15th round draft pick, and he was the most valuable player, as you know, Tom, of the first 2 Super Bowls, when they knocked off Kansas City and then Oakland in Super Bowl II. So Bart Starr is great, but I mean, the Super Bowl, coined by the late owner of the Chiefs, Lamar Hunt, it's kind of like, you know, it's got a certain mystique to it. So yeah, the Packers have the most championships, you know, have 9 championships, but you know,
13. Packers have 13, Bears have 9.
Okay, right. Packers, whatever. Packers, you know, you were good back then. Really, what happened this year? Remember that game when you guys came to Chicago? That was awesome.
I understand that Bears were a lot much better team today, but when you only talk Super Bowls, you know, as a Packer fan, I'm telling you this, you're also putting down the Bears. 9 championships is a lot. That's what the Bears have. And to say they only have one because they only have 1 Super Bowl, it'd be like saying the Yankees only have, you know, 3 World Series titles because they all the other World Series, they only had to play 1 playoff series. They didn't have to play 3 playoff series like they do now. So, you know, no one ever does that against the Yankees. They count all the championships. I say count all the Bears championships, count all the Packers.
Right, and the Montreal Canadiens in hockey. But okay, so here's my question. Is how many wins do you think Mike McCarthy will have this year for the Packers? Oh.
McCarthy? None. He's not coaching.
He's not coaching anymore because the Bears, they're the team. I didn't say the Bears don't have 9 championships. I said the Bears only have 1 Super Bowl. And you know why I say it? Because I'm a lifelong Bears fan. And one stinks. One sucks. The Ravens have only been in Baltimore for a short time, and they've won 2.
I understand that, but, you know, just no one goes to the Yankees and say, you know what, we're not going to count all those ones in the 20s. Because that was too long ago. They count just as much as
because
the World Series championship now.
Because they were World Series. The Super Bowl didn't exist until 53 years ago.
The Super Bowl, all it is a playoff, just like a playoff game. So when the Bears won in 63, that championship's just as good as someone winning the Super Bowl in 2019. To me, it is, and that's the way it should be.
You mean when they beat the Giants 14-10 at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, so otherwise, what you're saying is, that, you know, Doug Buffon and Obradovich were never championships because they never won a Super Bowl. That's not true. They were champions.
I didn't say
don't
that.
Take it away from them.
Tom, I never did. I never said they weren't champions. I never said that they didn't win championships. I just said that the Bears won 1 Super Bowl, which is true. But
when you talk Super Bowls and you don't talk championships, you're really putting down the teams that have won before the Super Bowl existed. I don't think it's right.
So are you to say the Cleveland Browns are a great organization because they've won championships when Jim Brown was playing and Paul Brown was their coach? Because in the last few days, we've heard that they were playing pornos in the facility. They didn't know how to get them off the TVs. And that the main reason they drafted Johnny Manziel is because somebody told the owner, a homeless guy, told the owner that you should draft Johnny Manziel. He'll be right for the team. So even though his football people didn't want to draft him, he drafted him. So to me, the Browns are a joke.
Teams go up and down. The Yankees are a historic team with a lot of championship. If you look at the Yankees, like around 1983 and 1984, they were, I'm sorry, like 84, 85, they were a horrible team. So you just can't go by what happens now. You have to look at the entire league, the way it's been played. The Bears have 9 championships. Yes, that means the Bears are better than the Patriots. I know they had a head start on the Patriots, but the Patriots have been around since the 60s, and
there's no way in hell. I love the Bears. There's no way in hell the Bears are better than the Patriots. The Patriots go, this is their 11th Super Bowl. They go all the time. It might as well be on their schedule, okay? The Bears, I love them, but they have had some very bad teams. Lovie Smith went to the playoffs, like, you know, once besides when he went to the Super Bowl. This is a joke. That's why I love what George McCaskey did. I love him bringing in Ryan Pace. I love what Ryan Pace did. Ryan Pace.
So basically, all you're saying is what counts is from 2001 on, because the Patriots never won a Super Bowl before 2001.
I'm saying
so
today, you cannot make the statement that the Bears are better based on, that'd be like saying, you know, the hottest girl we know is the girl that was hot in high school, because high school was years ago, you know.
When the Yankees lost 100 games in like 1985, would you say the Yankees, would you not still say the Yankees were the best team in baseball history?
In NFL
history, the Bears are the second best team.
Yes.
First team in NFL history is the Bears.
In history. But, yes. You know, remember what Dicka says, who the past is for? Cowards and losers.
So if we do it that way, then we should say that the Patriots are a bad team because they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, right?
Look, Tom, I appreciate the phone call. You're a good man. How will you spend your $81 Sunday?
Pizza, ice cream, nachos, and probably some beef sandwiches. How's that?
That's awesome. You're a good fan. I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Back a little more Super Bowl talk coming your way. 2:35, we're joined by Sam Panionovich of the Vegas Sports Information Network, VSiN. We're going to talk about the prop bets you can make on the big game. I'm Harry, in for Nick. This is WGN Radio 720.
But wise. But wise. But Bud Wise, Bud Wise, Bud Bud Wise, Bud Wise, Bud Wise, Bud Wise, Bud Wise.
Gotta love it. Your favorite Super Bowl commercial. Ben Anderson, your favorite Super Bowl commercial.
This goes back.
Way back? Way back. Machine?
Do you remember when they used to do the mix sports? They did I forget if it was Budweiser or Miller,
mm-hmm.
Anheuser that did the full commercial series. But my favorite was the Sumo High Dive.
Yes. Yeah. I would have never pulled it in 100 years. Good call. You studied for the show tonight, Ben.
I just know my commercials.
That's solid choice. That is a strong choice. I always loved it when they had like athletes in there, Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny, Remember that little Space Jam thing? By the way, they are casting right now as we speak for Space Jam 2. Scottie Pippen did a commercial with Jason Alexander, George Costanza from Seinfeld fame. We are talking Super Bowl, and the reason we're talking about it is it's this Sunday. It's happening in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 5:30. Gladys Knight will sing the national anthem. Maroon 5 will play at halftime. And do you know who's going to introduce Maroon 5? I will ask you and I will tell you. It is going to be SpongeBob. The guy that created SpongeBob SquarePants passed away. And to honor SpongeBob, he will be a part of the Maroon 5 halftime show for Super Sunday. So another reason you can get the kids involved is because SpongeBob SquarePants will be there. The Patriots are currently 2.5-point favorites. Some books have them at 3. But they are 2.5-point favorites as we speak right now. I like the Rams. I think the Rams will win straight up, so I certainly like them if you give them 2.5 points. And New England's been there a bunch. New England's got all the experience. There's not one player on the Rams who has played in the Super Bowl. That's crazy, right? And Brady, you know, has the most rings, the most Super Bowl championships for Tom and Racine. He does not have the most, the Patriots do not have the most championships, but they have the most Super Bowl championships. And they're going for another one. I think they're going to be stopped. I think that the Rams will beat them. I think that Sean McVay is a spectacular coach. And the Packers are trying to copy what the Rams did by hiring Matt LaFleur, who is the very young offensive coordinator with the Titans. He is now the next coach of the Green Bay Packers. His job is to lose twice to the Bears next year. So we'll look forward to that. But I think the Rams will take them down. And Todd Gurley, this is kind of interesting, but Todd Gurley has been their best player since they moved to Los Angeles a year ago. And he's been sort of non-existent for the last part of the season. He only had 4 carries last week against the Saints. And for the people that say, oh, Harry, how can you root for the Rams? They cheated to get to the Super Bowl. The Rams did not cheat. The refs blew a call. It wasn't like the Rams were, tying ropes to the ankles of the Saints defenders, or they all had mirrors and they were shining them off the lights into the eyes of the defenders. The Rams did not cheat. The Rams caught a massive break when the referees screwed up. And obviously they have to change that law, that rule, that coaches are not allowed to challenge what should have been a penalty. You have to be able to challenge a judgment call. The whole point of instant replay is to get the game right, not to let a bad call by the official cost your team. Well, here's a bad call by the official costing them a Super Bowl. Just ridiculous. And think of how many more people from New Orleans would have been there. The Saints have been in New Orleans for 50 years. This version of the Rams has been back in L.A. for just a couple. And think of how many people would have been in that city from New Orleans right now if it were the Saints instead of the Rams. Also, the way that Bears fans don't like the Packers, or the way that, Giants fans don't like Dallas, or Dallas fans don't like the Giants, there's nobody that doesn't like Drew Brees. Drew Brees is just, so damn likable. So it stinks he's not going. It stinks he's not there. Sean Payton, who played at Eastern Illinois, it's awful that he, the head coach of the Saints, doesn't get to go there. But that was the call. They can't go back. They have to change it. Roger Goodell yesterday did not give enough of a, mea culpa. He just kind of, hinted that they might look at possible changes. But Roger Goodell, you need to admit, you guys screwed up. The wrong team is playing in the Super Bowl, but it's not the Rams' fault. And I want to use bad grammar here. It ain't the Rams' fault, because the Zebras screwed up. We also found out since the game that the ref that made the call and the majority of the refs in that game were from Los Angeles. But again, I point out that team has been in St. Louis for the majority of the last 20 years. It's not like, a guy from Chicago made a call to put the Bears into the Super Bowl. L.A., there's a lot of people in L.A. don't even know the Rams are back, for crying out loud. That new stadium, that'll get them in. That'll get them back. And what a great way to bring fans out is if you can, you know, win a Super Bowl, I think that would do it. I think that'd be pretty, pretty strong. So I don't blame the Rams for cheating. They didn't cheat, and I'm cheering for them. They're getting 2.5 points Sunday, and I think they're going to win straight up. So you got to get down on the Rams. And I'm looking forward to Gladys Knight. Big fan of Gladys Knight and the Pips. Looking forward to her singing "Take Me Out to the Ball." Take Me Out to the Ballgame. Looking forward to her singing the national anthem. Maroon 5, I can go either way on. Ben, any reason I should love Maroon 5? Vic Vaughn, any reason I should love Maroon 5?
I mean, they're pretty good. I enjoy their music. So I think I think this is going to be a great halftime show this year.
Well, they did play at the after party for Pritzker. So if you voted for Pritzker, maybe that, if you're looking for a reason to like Maroon 5.
Yeah, there's one. Yeah, there you go.
Wow. Well, do we know what they got paid for that?
No idea.
Enough.
Yeah, I'm guessing they got paid pretty well. See, we just had such an influx over the last 15 years of like my favorite rock and rollers. We've had Springsteen, and we've had the Stones, we've had Paul McCartney, you know, we've had Tom Petty, and you know, it's so, you know, hard when you go from that to someone who's not. I enjoyed Katy Perry. You know, I think I went as the Left Shark for Halloween the following year. But Justin Timberlake, and I love him as a host on Saturday Night Live, Justin Timberlake did nothing for me last year. So we'll see if Maroon 5 can hold a candle to some of the great all-time rock and rollers. We'll see what happens. I'm very, very much looking forward to the game, in case you couldn't tell. And next year it's going to be even better, because next year the Bears will be in it. And you guys, so this year the Super Bowl is in Atlanta. Do you know where it is next year? It's in Hubbard Woods. Right here in Hubbard Woods, just north of Wilmette. No, it's in Miami next year. So the Bears have a chance to go back to the scene of the crime, where they were for Super Bowl 41, only this time get it right. And the best part, the two best parts of Super Bowl 41, I went there with my friend Rob, who owns the Registry in Crown Point, Indiana. It's the best bar in the state of Indiana, if not in the country, if not in the continent. But Rob and I went to see the Bears-Colts Super Bowl, and Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. At one point, after he'd blown by all the Colts players on the opening kickoff, he was watching himself in the scoreboard. How cool was that? Looking up, watching himself on the scoreboard, in the scoreboard, Devin Hester got a touchdown. The other cool part of that game, because that game got awfully uncool after that touchdown, the other cool part of that game was Prince, in the pouring rain, doing his halftime show, singing Purple Rain in the driving rain. Pretty cool. So I don't know if Maroon 5 has any, like, you know, song as epic as Purple Rain. You know, I don't know if they can deliver like what Petty did, what Springsteen did. And Bruce was great. We got to play that at some point tonight. Bruce put down the guacamole. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. It should be a great game. Sam Panionovich is going to talk prop bets. Prop bets are the goofy bets you can make. Bets like, will the announcers mention that it's the largest age difference ever between the two head coaches? What color will the Gatorade be that gets spilled on the winning owner? What will there be more of? More of, you know, Tom Brady incompletions, or Mark Carmen apologizing to his fiance? Those are the kind of things you're going to have to, you know, talk about. Those are the kind of things we'll see. So Sam Panionovich, right after the break, we will talk a little of Super Bowl prop bets. Again, it's a 5:30 start for the game. The game is on CBS. Tony Romo, and he's a god. You know, I mean, he was very good as a player. He is just a god as an NFL analyst. Looking forward to Jim Nance. Hello, friends. That's a prop bet. Will Jim Nance start the game by saying hello, friends, which is what he always does when he does the Masters? And if I were betting that, I would bet yes, of course he will. But Tony Romo is going to be on the call, so it'll be pretty cool. It'd be cooler if it were the Bears, but we'll have to wait till next year. Hopefully Chuck Pagano can pick up where the defense left off, and hopefully Mitch Trubisky could take the next step. Mitch did not look great in the Pro Bowl, but, you know, he's got all the tools. I don't know if he'll ever be elite. It'd be great if he could be top 10. I don't know that he'll ever be elite. Of course, I will cheer for him to be so. on WGN Radio in for Nick Studio. It is I, Harry Tynowitz, and always happy when my friends are doing well. He's a Chicagoan who is now a driving force at the Vegas Stats and Information Network, otherwise known as VSiN. He is a host out there and a gambler professionally and, you know, just like as a hobby, Sam Panionovich. Sam, thanks for joining us on WGN Radio. How the hell are you, buddy?
Harry, it's good to be back, and it's good to talk Super Bowl, and it's good to talk betting, man. I actually have in front of me, I've got a 32-page packet, and it's legal paper, double-sided, with all the ways you can bet the Super Bowl at the Westgate Superbook. And that's just one shop in town, right? There are 1,000 ways at the Westgate you can bet the game. If you go around the world, your global markets, your Costa Ricas, Nicaraguas, your Londons, your Asias, you can probably bet this game like 5,000 different ways. I know you don't have that much time, but maybe we can pick the best and the brightest ways to do it.
Well, I can't wait to hear this because we went to print out the prop bets you sent us, and there's 8,200 pages. It's unbelievable. Right. I mean, it's you know, a War and Peace is shorter than the prop bets that we can use for Super Bowl 53 come Sunday. Sam, you know, there's so many before the game. There's so many during the game. There's so many after the game. And I love the crossovers. So let's just start with this. A big Gladys Knight fan, you can bet, you know, so many bets that people can determine that have nothing to do with the game, like how long the national anthem will last, what color the Gatorade is that gets poured on the winning coach's head. Are those like capped? We cap those bets so people can't, like, you know, get goofy with them?
Well, you can't actually bet national anthem or Gatorade. You can't bet certain props in Vegas because the way Vegas takes bets, Harry, it's only bets that are related to things that happen on the field during the course of the game. So all your exotic props, your anthem, your Gatorade, what will the broadcasters say, those are all done in the offshore markets. But to answer your question, the national anthem this year, for example, Gladys Knight is doing the song. The over-under, and you can bet on this, is 107 seconds, so $1.47, a minute 47. Over or under. Over or under, a minute 47. And actually, she sang the anthem in 1991 at the Super Bowl, and she got it done. She was in and out like a breeze. Minute 32. So you factor in, it's, you know, a couple years later, she's a little bit older, maybe she holds a couple notes a little longer, but that's the current price right now if you want to bet this in the global shops. Gladys Knight, over under a minute and 47 seconds. And I don't have a dog in this fight because, I don't know if you know, Harry, I retired from betting on the anthem.
Oh, ever since the incident?
Dude, you'll love this story because you're like me. 2013, Jennifer Hudson singing the national anthem. The over-under is a minute 58. Uh-huh. And I go, I got to go under. She held Brave for 18 seconds. 18 seconds. You know, she held it for like 18 seconds.
Self-indulgent.
And she went over by 3 seconds. So I lost because she held Brave for almost 20 seconds. So since that moment, Harry, I'm done on the anthem. I can't do it.
She is a Chicagoan. Well, I was going to say, you know, I would think, like, you know, your thought was that she's getting older, she's going to hold notes longer. I'm, you know, my mom, you know, is battling, you know, dementia. I would think, like, there's a chance Gladys Knight forgets an entire verse. You know, I'm going under.
Well, you can also bet that, too, globally. Will Gladys Knight miss a note? And the yes is actually minus 120. So yes is favored. So odds are good, according to the global market. She'll miss a note or she'll miss something in the anthem.
Okay, so now the game starts, and we have, you know, Tom Brady, the GOAT, who can take any receiver and make them into a star. So a guy like Chris Hogan, you know, Julian Edelman has been his guy. Gronkowski is his superstar guy. But here's a guy, Chris Hogan, number 15, has not had a big season. I can get 10-1 on him for the first touchdown of the game or the last touchdown of the game or go over under 40.5 yards. Sam, I'm going heavy over 40.5 yards on Chris Hogan. Is there a receiver who you have targeted as having a big or a bad game Sunday?
So Hogan's one of the guys that I circle because when you think of Super Bowl and you think of Brady, Belichick, you think of the old reliable guys, right? The cats he's usually been able to trust, the Gronkowskis, mm-hmm. the Edelmans, mm-hmm. the Amendolas, who's now with the Miami Dolphins. But I actually went down the page a little bit because, Harry, if you're going to take these bets, you're going to bet on the first touchdown, last touchdown, or the MVP. I want to risk a little and win a lot. And here's the guy that I took. He had a great game, I'm sure you remember, against the Bears, Cordell Patterson, who had a kick return touchdown against the Beloved. I believe he also had a second touchdown against the Bears in that game. But he's going off right now at 40-1 to score the first touchdown. And to win the MVP, Patterson's even higher. He's 80-1 to win the MVP. Now, you know how it goes. If the Patriots win, Brady's probably going to win the MVP. If the Rams win, it's likely going to be Goff. But if I could put down $100 and win $8,000, I mean, that's where I'm looking, right? I mean, you're looking at a guy like that.
That's how you do it, you know. When Griff, Howard Griffith, a great Chicago guy who played at U of I, he was like 22-1 to get the first touchdown when the Broncos won their first Super Bowl, and he got it. So I'm with you, man. You're risking it. It seems like the bet of who will win the game, there's logic. Who gets the first touchdown? I mean, you're all over the place. So I kind of like that. Just joining us, Sam Panayotovich. He's a host at Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSiN in Vegas. He's talking Super Bowl prop bets with us. You can bet anything. You can bet like the color underwear that Wade Phillips is wearing. Like Wade Phillips still wears underwear. All right, so Sam, here's the way I think. I think that the game is in Atlanta. Both starting running backs, Todd Gurley and Sony Michel, played at Georgia. I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, they go back to the scene of the crime. You know, give me like a Sony Michel. You know, give me a Todd Gurley for first to score or for MVP. I mean, can't you see that happening? Someone going back to where they've already had great success and doing well. Horses for courses.
I could see literally anything happening, but since you asked, I'll give you some prices here. So Sony Michel is actually the favorite to score the game's first touchdown. He is 6-1 to cross the goal line first, so he's your favorite. And Todd Gurley currently checking in about 7-1. It's interesting, though, with Gurley, Harry, as you know, he's only been on the field for, like, you know, 50 snaps in the last 5 weeks or so. He was not on the field in Week 16, didn't play Week 17, was pretty banged up against the Saints, only had 4 carries. But in the middle of all that, you had a pretty good performance. He had a buck on the ground against the Cowboys. So he's been healthy for like one of the last 5 weeks, but at the same time, like, he's been rested, right? I mean, the narrative is that he's not healthy. He's not going to be effective. This has been one of the most popular prop bets here in Vegas. They opened up Gurley's rushing yards 69.5, okay? So that was the opening number. It was bet down to 58. So the initial move was on the under because everybody thought, right, well, he's hurt. He's not going to rush. But now it's been bought back up. So now Gurley's rushing yardage prop is 64.5, and for him to win the MVP, this has been a popular bet so far, opened up 16-1, and now he's 8-1. So there are some believers, right, somewhere in this country that think Todd Gurley's going to have a pretty monster game. Your early money was against him, but the late money has been on Gurley, not only to go over the rushing prop, but to win the MVP.
And that makes sense to me. And, you know, I was also very impressed, Sam, with the way he handled himself post-game. He said, I had an awful game. You know, I deserved 4 carries. C.J. Edwards was great. I was bad. He didn't blame anything. He didn't offer up an excuse. He just said he was bad and he needs to get better. And obviously, most football people will tell you he's the best player on the offense on that team. So, I mean, I can totally see that happening with him. Now, that's the offense. The Rams, known for their defense. Knowing you, Sam, did you bet any cash on a Rams or a Patriots defensive player to MVP it?
I certainly did. Aaron Donald. I think he's the best player on the field. And if that's the case, I'm going to take a flyer. It was a small bet, but again, it's to win a lot of money. He's 25-1. We have seen a couple defensive players in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, right, win the MVP. Von Miller won it for the Denver Broncos. And then you had, I think it was it Bobby Wagner or I can't remember which Seahawk linebacker won the award when they beat the Broncos. They crushed the Broncos in that game. So you've had a couple defensive players, but I mean, in my opinion, if you get the best player on the field in Aaron Donald, who could get 2-3 sacks, a forced fumble, maybe a scoop and score, if it's a low-scoring game and the Rams come out on top and he's got 4, 5, 6 tackles for loss, a couple sacks, I mean, it's worth a shot. Aaron Donald, to me, 25-1. That's pretty enticing.
It seems way high. And Aaron Donald out of Pitt, of course, the Bears wanted him. He went one pick before the Bears selected. He led the league in sacks. He beat J.J. Watt by 4.5 sacks. There's 4 first-rounders on that D-line. They're all coming at you. I like the way you're thinking. Sam, my gosh, Sam, that's a strong play. Aaron Donald, 25-1. I'm feeling that. I kind of like that. Okay.
No, Harry, I want to, yeah, if we can for a second, if you want to lay on the couch and I can hold the notepad, I had a couple of questions I want to throw at you.
Please.
Okay, so the number, the jersey number, and I know you're a jersey,
oh, yeah,
fan. You love your jersey.
Yes.
The number of the player that crosses the goal line first, over under 26.5. What do you got?
Boy, I've got to go over. I mean, I just think Tom Brady, you know, and Jared Goff, they're throwing. They're both throwing the ball. They're getting it through the air. So I'm seeing, it could go to a running back. But I mean, even if it goes to Gurley, he's 30. You know, I see it being a, you know, obviously you got Edelman, who's 11. You got Chris Hogan, who I mentioned before, he's 15. Dorsett is 13. You know, you got Woods is 17. You know, Brandon Cooks is also low. But, you know, so upon further review, there are a lot of low-numbered guys.
Yeah, Sony Michel, though, he's the favorite. He's 26.
Right.
So that's, like Vegas says, he's most likely to cross the goal line first. But I think that's good. Philip Dorsett, I think, is also 13
right.
For the Patriots. But then James White, like you said, 28. Yeah. Gronkowski, 87. You got a lot of big tight ends
and
come
Gronk,
out there.
You know, and Gronk is just like his guy and his big moments. Gronk came through at the most important time for the Chiefs. So, boy, oh boy, that's tough. I would go over. I would stick over. Sam, I want to get into some of the crossover bets where you can take, an NBA game or, something happening in golf and you can involve it in your Super Bowl prop bets. Can you hang with us through this break and come back and talk a little crossover action, my friend?
No problem. Anything for you, HT.
Oh, go on. You know, kids say the darnest things. He is Sam Panayotovic. Sam can be heard on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, otherwise known as VSIN, V-S-I-N, or Brent's Network. Want to come right back on WGN. Harry in for Nick DiGiulio. This is WGN Radio. WGN Radio, in for Nick DiGiulio. It's me. I'm Harry Tynowitz. We're with you till 5 a.m. this morning. And Sam Panayotovic, Chicagoan, is with us. Sam hosts his own show on VSIN, the Vegas Sports and Information Network, VSIN. Sam has been known to lay down a buck or two legally. There is $6 billion expected to be bet on the Super Bowl Sunday. $6 billion. And there's a lot of ways you can bet it, and we are talking about the prop bets you can make, the goofy bets, the fun bets, and we are about to talk about all the crossover bets where you can take golf or basketball or hockey and combine it with the Super Bowl. But before we do, GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, there's a bet, Sam, where you can bet whether or not he will go over under his longest rush. Tell me you're down on Tom Brady's longest rush.
Well, you have to bet this one way because you don't want to be, you don't want to be that guy that roots for Tom Brady not to bust one at age 41, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the longest rushing prop for Tom Brady, this is just one rush over the course of the game. Harry, it's 2.5 yards. You're telling me that over the course of this game, there's not one time when he's going to pump out at the end, roll out right, and pick up three or more on the ground. I'm taking the over. I'm going over 2.5 because I love old slow guys boogieing down the field. I'm going over 2.5 on Brady's longest bus. Do you like it or do you love it?
I love it. I want some more of it. I mean, how does Tom Brady not by accident just get 3 yards? You know, he's the type of guy that he always wants to go for broke, but he's not stupid. You know, if he can pick up a few yards rather than, take a sack, he'll do it. I see him doing it and getting down right before three guys try to take his head off. Over 2.5 yards, Tom Brady's longest rush.
I'm with you on that. How about this for a story? So the year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl, I believe Peyton Manning's rushing prop was 3.5 yards, okay?
Okay.
That's over the course of the game. It was 3.5. He had 5 yards going into the final drive, and you know what's coming. You know what he did on the final play. He took a knee.
And it went down like 3 yards or 4 yards.
It was so if you bet Peyton Manning over 3.5 yards, he had 5. And on the final play, he takes a knee, loses 2, it lands on 3.
Dude, I have been, you talk about your bad beats. I'm the guy that lost a huge play on a punter running out of the Steelers. Atlanta are playing on a Monday night, and Pittsburgh's covering the whole game. And on the last play, it's like 8 seconds left in the game, he's punting out of his own end zone. All the guy's got to do is not get it blocked, right? Just don't get it blocked. Don't get it blocked. He takes it. He starts running for the corner of the end zone. He stands there until there's no time on the clock and steps out, takes the safety. Game is over in Atlanta, who hasn't covered all night, now covers.
Very. You'll never forget it either. You'll never, ever forget it.
No, you don't remember the wins. You remember the aggravating losses. That's what you remember. All right, Sam, there's bets like where you take one sport and combine it, go against the other sport. Like Russell Westbrook, Mr. Triple-Double, you can bet his combined scoring, rebounds, and assists, and compare it to, like, the Patriots. Do you have a favorite crossover bet involving an NBA player?
Yeah, I was looking at James Harden free throws made. So the Rockets play the Jazz on Saturday. Football game is on Sunday. So this is a prop that you have to kind of sweat out on Saturday and Sunday. But if you look at the numbers, Harry, that Harden has been putting up at the line, like there are games when he takes 18, 20, 22 free throws. So this is one of the cross-court props that I actually do like. James Harden free throws made, and I get to take that against the Rams points in the first half. Now the Rams probably score. Yeah, I can tell you love it. There are probably, I guess the ballpark number for the Rams would be about 17 points in the first half. Maybe they score 14, a couple touchdowns, or maybe it's as low as 10. James Harden, though, he's going to get at least 15 free throws made. So I'm going to take a chance on the guy who gets to the line more than anybody in the league. I'm going to take Harden's free throws made over the Rams points in the first half.
There you go. There should be like a bet like Brady's rushing touchdowns against Harden scoring off an assist.
How about Mark Carmen aces at the tennis club against the Rams first downs? What do you think about something like that?
I'm sticking with Carm. Are you kidding? Oh, he's because he only plays like against 80-year-olds.
True.
He's, whereas the Rams are playing against like the greatest team, one of the greatest teams in recent NFL history. All right, Sam, something else that's crossing over, whether it's another basketball game or hockey or golf, what's another sport where you found?
Yeah, I'll just go rapid fire on here. So Stephen Curry points for the Warriors. They face the Lakers. Stephen Curry points against Patriots points. You've got LeBron James points. Lakers play the Warriors. LeBron points against Tom Brady completion.
We're assuming LeBron is back by then.
Well, LeBron played tonight against the Clippers, so I think he's probably going to play against the Warriors, and I know they're chomping at the bit to take him on after Lakers beat the Warriors on Christmas. How about Steph Curry free throws missed against Rob Gronkowski touchdowns? Now, Curry's like a 93% free throw shooter, but is Gronk going to score? That's the test in that bet. And then you've got a couple bets that cross over with golf. So you'll love these. Brooks Koepka fourth round birdie, so all the birdies on the fourth round against
place.
Brandon Cook's receptions.
Ooh, come on, Brandon Cook. I mean, I know Koepka's great, but Brandon Cook's receptions. I mean, that's not even a really. That's even odds.
That is even odds right here. And how about this? The UIC Flames.
Yes,
true to our heart, we love our Flames, right?
The Flames made a prop bet.
The Flames made a prop. Who will have more? Three-pointers by Northern Kentucky and UIC against the shortest made field goal.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Boy, I'm telling you, I don't think they kick anything that's like under 40 yards. So I'm thinking, could be the Flames in Northern Kentucky.
Well, UIC is chucking up about 25 threes a game this year. Yeah. So do your homework, Harry. Do your homework.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm with you on that. Now, Sam, I don't see this game being a blowout, but there have been many years, too many, when you get blowouts. And I've always been a big fan. I've always advocated that the one bet you must make is last team to score. And if you want to get crazy, you can do last player to score. Like we mentioned earlier, Chris Hogan, for example, the Patriots receiver, he is 10-1 for the last player to score. That way, even if one team is blown out the other team by 20 points, and remember, last time New England won, they were losing 28-3 going into the fourth quarter. But I love having action no matter what. So if everybody else is turned away, their backs are to the TV, they've left the room, they're all, having a shot contest, you still have action going because you could still score. So do you have a last team to score, or is there a prop bet that you are highly advocating that you must make?
Yeah, so my favorite prop in the game, I went under 49.5 yards for the longest touchdown. Now, I don't think the Patriots have an over-the-top bust-out type threat. They don't have Josh Gordon anymore. He was really their home run threat down the field.
Right. Patterson can fly.
Yeah, he can fly, but I still think if you give Bill Belichick and Wade Phillips 2 weeks to prepare, they're smart enough to limit what you do well. I think the only way this prop is going to lose, and I could be wrong because it's a prop bet and it's the Super Bowl. The only way I think that prop loses, though, Harry, I think if there's a kick return for a touchdown or a punt return, or maybe there's a, you know, a pick six for like 70 yards or so. But I like both defenses. I think the Rams defense is way better than people realize. So I'm going under 49.5, longest touchdown in the game. I just don't see these two defenses giving up a big play.
Remember the James Harrison play to end the first half, Steelers-Cardinals? That was awesome.
Was that a 99-yard fumble return?
It was a pick, interception, pick six.
Oh, interception, okay. Yeah. Either way, it's a 100-yard score pretty much.
And he had no time left. The clock ran out. If he doesn't get in the end zone, you know, they don't get the ball at the 3-yard line. He had to get in the end zone, and 92, James Harrison got into the end zone. All right, Sam, have you found a dumbest prop bet? Like I can't believe this is actually on the board.
That's a good question. Dumbest bet? Not really so much. I put it this way. I know a couple buddies that in the 2012 and the 2013 Super Bowl, they bet that there will not be a safety. And here's why it's dumb. Because the no is so expensive. You have to risk 100 to win 10 or 1,000 to win 100, right?
Not worth
it. I had buddies, Harry, in back-to-back Super Bowls. Patriots, Giants, they bet the no. They laid a lot to win a little, and there was a safety in that game. Tell me how they came back the very next year, Ravens and the Niners, the Harbaugh Bowl, and the very last play of the game for the Ravens, they were up, but Harbaugh didn't want to punt it away, so he had the punter run into the back of the end zone and slide into the back of the end zone.
There you go, that damn punter sliding in the end zone again.
But that's 2 years in a row where you take the no, there will not be a safety, at minus 900, minus 1,000. And it loses. So you put up 100 to win 10, and you lose 100. I don't know if there's a dumbest bet per se, but I am never, ever laying 1 to 9, 1 to 10, 1 to 20. That's stupid. Bet a little to win a lot. Don't bet a lot to win a little. That's really dumb.
That's what we're teaching you here tonight. That is the lesson to be learned. Yeah, it's like I remember back in the 90s with Roy Halladay pitching for Toronto at Wrigley Field, and my friends that were Cubs fans all bet Halladay, and they'd laid like 3-1, and of course the Cubs beat them.
Don't do that. You know how these props started, by the way. I'm sure you know, but I don't know if your listeners know. You know the first big popular prop bet in Vegas, right?
That would be whether or not Janet Jackson's nipple is shown at halftime.
No, we're going back to 85, baby. Will Refrigerator Perry score a touchdown? That was like the first big prop here in Vegas. Caesar's Palace put it up. The yes was 20-1 on the open. And as we know, and as you know listening, the fridge rumbled into the end zone in that Super Bowl. Vegas got crushed, man. They lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on the fridge getting across the goal line.
And Ditka still says it was one of the two dumbest things he ever did, because Sweetness did not get a touchdown because the fridge got one. In the game, McMahon was the first quarterback to ever get two rushing touchdowns in a game. That was the game. On Twitter, he is SP Shoot. You can hear him on VSIN, VSIN. That's the Vegas Sports and Information Network. He is one of Chicago's very own. He's doing great. Sam Panionovich. Sam, thanks so much for giving time to your old station, WGN Radio, today.
You got it, man. Anytime for you, Harry.
All right. Thank you, Sam. We are close to news. We are right back here on Nick DiGiulio's show. I'm Harry, in for Nick. This is WGN Radio 720.
Get up, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up, get up, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine.
The hardest working man in show business, James Brown, as we celebrate February. It is the month, as you all know, that we celebrate Black History. Black History Month began 3 hours ago. We've been playing some of the greatest music you could ever hope to hear. That's James Brown. We have played Temptations, Stevie Wonder, Sam Cooke, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Marvin Gaye. We'll keep playing more of it. We celebrate Black History Month. Okay, I'm Harry Tynowitz, in for Nick DiGiulio, and it's not happening in Illinois, unfortunately, but Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, these fast food places are creating things like they've never created them before. For example, Burger King has Fruit Loops milkshakes, and Steak and Shake has like Reese's Pieces milkshake. Well, now currently at Kentucky Fried Chicken, in certain states, they are testing the Chicken Cheetos sandwich. You guessed it. It is a chicken sandwich with Cheetos in the breading. How does that sound? To me, it sounds horrible. It sounds just terrible. And your mouth's going to get all orange. Kentucky Fried Chicken, you have great chicken. You're not called Kentucky Fried Cheetos. The C isn't for Cheetos. The C is for chicken. Who's in charge here? What are you thinking, man? The colonel is turning over in his grave. And the chicken bones are making a lot of noise. Because you just get a feeling he was buried with chickens, right? So Colonel Sanders, and, you know, may he rest in peace, he would probably not approve of this, but KFC is testing the chicken Cheetos sandwich, which I don't even want to try. And like Lou Reed said, I'll try anything twice. So my question for you is, what is the weirdest thing that you make, the weirdest thing you prepare in your kitchen? And another way you could look at this is, what is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Like, I've eaten alligator. I've eaten ostrich. In both cases, they were dead and they were cooked. Not like I was, like, you know, on an island and I needed to stay alive. And so I tracked down an alligator in the swamp, or I grabbed an ostrich when he wasn't looking. So I just want to know, what is the weirdest thing that you cook, that you prepare, that you make? And like, if you're going to a friend's party and they say, hey, bring something, make something, what is that unique thing that you make? Whether it is an entree, a side dish, a dessert, what is it that you make? You know, like my wife makes green bean casserole every year for Thanksgiving. I think a lot of people make that. She makes these really good meatballs. I actually mentioned it earlier in the show. That'd be like an appetizer. She makes them with a secret ingredient. It's grape jelly. Grape jelly is Wendy's secret recipe. So now you know, okay? So what is the weirdest thing you make? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can call or you could text. Text or call, and I'm happy to speak to you. Well, now, I'm not a great chef, but I'm pretty good. I guess the weirdest thing I make, I haven't made it for a while, but... For certain guests, I used to make a Smirnoff and cheddar omelet. How about that? How about that for going the extra mile? Smirnoff and cheddar omelet, and of course, I would serve it with a piece of lime on the side. Ben Anderson is executively producing the show this evening. Ben, would you grab a forkful of a Smirnoff and cheddar omelet?
What kind of Smirnoff?
What kind? Delicious Smirnoff.
Because if you're putting sour apple in there, forget
it. No. I would say sour apple. Did I say sour apple? I just said Smirnoff. So regular Smirnoff.
Yeah, I'd be willing to try that one.
Yeah, it's good. And there's no... I haven't had it for 8 years, but the booze gets cooked out.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you could serve it to a teenager. You could serve it to, I wouldn't recommend it, but you could serve it to a kid. There'd be no alcohol buzz. There'd be no danger of getting the kid messed up or anything like that. So I guess the weirdest thing that I make is a Smirnoff and cheddar omelet. I also make, Bill Leff used to invite me to his Christmas party every year until the incident. And I used to make these like chicken sandwiches. They were chicken roll sandwiches, like the processed chicken that gets, it's like shaped like a bologna, I guess. It's, cylindrical in shape. And I would get, you know, sliced chicken sandwiches, and I'd put ketchup on one side and Miracle Whip on the other side. And it is just so good. They are so good. And there was an incident because Bill has at his house the world's second greatest toy collection. It is a toy collection so big that the kids sleep in sleeping bags in the car, because there's no room for them in the house. So Kylie and Reese are forced to sleep outside in sleeping bags in the car. Bill's toy collection takes up the entire house and more. And one year at the Christmas party, I really wanted to check out some of the toys, and I opened the cabinet. Nothing happened to the toy, but I handled it. Bill got upset. And he has this little Christmas village. He spends like 6 weeks preparing it. It's a Christmas village like it's put together better than Terre Haute, Indiana is put together. And I grabbed Spider-Man, and I was playing with Spider-Man, and then I left Spider-Man on the church tower in the Christmas Village to, like, make sure that everybody was safe in the Christmas Village. And instead of Bill saying, Harry, that's so thoughtful of you that you're making sure Spider-Man is using his spidey senses in protecting the Christmas Village, he said, you know, that's in the cabinet for a reason. So the next year he had a lock, and I questioned why he needed to get the lock, and that's the incident. But I used to bring to his house, to that holiday party, I used to bring the chicken roll sandwiches with mayonnaise, with not mayonnaise, but Miracle Whip on, I prefer Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip on one side, ketchup on the other side. They were so good. And again, at home, the treat that I made was a Smirnoff and cheddar omelet served with a piece of lime. So I'm asking you guys, what is the weirdest thing that you make? That's what I want to know. 312-981-7200. We owe you a break. We will step away. We'll come right back. Text me or call me, 312-981-7200. What is the weirdest thing you cook that you make, or the weirdest thing you've eaten? Like, I've had ostrich and I've had alligator, but again, I like to point out they were both already dead when I enjoyed them. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weekdays on WGN-TV. In for Nick DiGiulio, I'm Harry Tynowitz. This is WGN Radio 720.
People too, I mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around.
The great Ray Charles on Radio 720 WGN as we celebrate Black History Month. Ben Anderson picked that one out. Good choice, Ben. Ray Charles, pretty awesome, pretty spectacular. And Jamie Foxx was great in the movie Ray. The movie Ray is directed by the same guy that directed La Bamba. And if you ever notice, they are the same plot, the same story. Now, obviously, there's, you know, similarities in anybody's life who becomes, you know, so successful, you know, what they have to go through, how they've chased their dream, that moment of accomplishment, that moment they first hear their song on the radio. And so in that regard, they're, you know, you expect them to be similar, but I'm telling you that these movies, if you ever have a chance to watch them both again, they are like the same story. They are like exactly alike. And Jamie Foxx was great in Ray. I did not know this at the time, but Jamie Foxx was a classically trained pianist at Juilliard. How about that? So it wasn't like, you know, like Bradley Cooper learned how to get better on guitar for Star is Born, and Joaquin Phoenix learned how to sing and play guitar for the Johnny Cash story, Walk the Line. But, you know, here's a case where Jamie Foxx, I mean, he was probably more qualified to be a musician than to be an actor. And pretty spectacular what Jamie Foxx does in the movie Ray. And it's worth seeing, by the way. I liked it more than I liked La Bamba. Okay, so I wanted to know what you guys, the weirdest thing you've ever made or the weirdest thing you've ever eaten, because Kentucky Fried Chicken, not in Illinois, shoot, but in other states, Kentucky Fried Chicken is currently testing its chicken Cheeto sandwich, which is not a chicken sandwich with Cheetos on it. No. The Cheetos are like ground up and baked into the coating that is surrounding the chicken breast that sits on top of the sandwich. And to that, I simply want to know why. Why? Like, I get why you have extra crispy. Some people like their Kentucky Fried Chicken extra crispy. Other people don't. I get that. I get why you have, the chicken bites. I don't think they're called nuggets at KFC. But I don't understand why you would go ahead and put Cheetos on the chicken sandwich. But hey, what the hell? You know, Wendy's doing the maple chicken sandwich. So what's the weirdest thing that you've ever eaten and the weirdest thing you've ever made? Ben Anderson is here. He's executively producing. Vic Vaughn is doing your updates tonight. By the way, so far, Vic Vaughn is flawless. like, you know, Dave Jennings keeps texting me, when will he make a mistake? Sorry, Dave, but guys, the weirdest thing you've ever consumed. Uh-oh, I've thrown them for a loop. Ben is on the phone, and Vic is currently interviewing Barack Obama in the newsroom right now. So that's what happened there. I'm trying to think other things that I've eaten that are quite weird besides the ostrich. I had an ostrich burger, and then I just had alligator pieces. What are some other weird things? See, venison to me isn't weird. Venison is like something that, you know, a lot of people have eaten. It's deer meat, and, you know, a lot of people eat that, especially we border on Wisconsin. I have a lot of friends that are hunters. I have a friend that, you know, will kill and clean and cook his own venison. So I don't think that's that weird, but I guess for some people, they're like, well, you know, gee, I've never had that. Let's go to Dan in Lake Geneva. Dan, you're on WGN Radio.
Hey, Harry, it's Dan. My grandfather's name was Harry. Didn't have a hair on his head. Anyways, no, I just get one of them shrimp platters, and then the shrimp sauce, I spike it with a ton of horseradish so somebody can't eat it all at once.
Well, horseradish is pretty good choice for shrimp, pretty good choice for cocktail sauce. When you say you spike it, like how heavily?
Oh, I almost turn it white, sir.
Whoa. That is, and do you eat, will you eat it?
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay, man.
Okay, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. That leaves a line open. Let's grab Eric in Tinley Park. Eric, you're on WGN Radio. What's growing on?
Good morning. The weirdest thing I ever tried, I copied a sandwich recipe off of an episode of Dragnet with Jack Webb and Harry Morgan.
Uh-huh.
He made a peanut butter, garlic, and cream cheese sandwich, and I think there was something else involved also. And
you know, right now, everybody listening is making the same face.
Yeah, it looked good at the time, and I was hungry when I was watching the episode, and I said, that sounds like a really good sandwich to make. So I gave it a try, and I was like, I don't know. It was kind of rough.
At least you tried it.
Yeah, I tried it, and that was one of the staples of that show, was that Harry Morgan, you know, Joe Friday's partner,
right,
would always come up with these weird concocted sandwiches.
I want to say his name was Bill Gannon.
Bill Gannon, right, yeah. Joe Friday and Bill Gannon.
I got way too much time on my hands. And now I'm recommending a sandwich to you, okay? Chicken roll sandwich with ketchup on one side and Miracle Whip on the other. Will you try that?
Only if I'm really hungry and I'm in the mood.
Okay, well, you know, I could pour you a couple glasses of wine and get you in that mood.
No, I don't touch the stuff, but thanks anyway.
Well, good for you. Good for you. All right, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling,
okay.
Eric. Have a great day
today. You too.
All right, I'm asking, because KFC is sampling their new chicken Cheeto sandwich, a sandwich surrounded by Cheetos breading. Ugh, it just sounds terrible. Cheesy Rider, I don't like what you're doing there. Well, I'm asking you guys, what is the weirdest thing you make or the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? This would be Eddie. Eddie, you're on WGN Radio.
What's up, Harry? Great to hear you.
Why, thank you, Eddie. It's even better to hear you. I was hoping you'd call.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about it. All these things they serve in sausage form. At Taste of Chicago every year, they always offer up the double plate that has the rabbit sausage snake sausage. And it's like, that's what I was bragging about. Yeah, I ate snake, I ate rabbit. But really, when you're eating them, you can't even really tell a difference because it's sausage. You know, by the time you finish putting the seasonings in it and the casing and everything else they do, sausage is just like sausage. You put linoleum in there and it's you wouldn't know the difference because the sausage kind of seasoning and the way they put it together and grind it up.
Right. So, and I think, Eddie, you know, I think sausage is one of those things you never want to see it made.
Yeah, that's the expression. Yeah, right. When you go to, like Hofbrauhaus, they give you a tower of sausages of, like, 18 different colors. And it, you know, some of them are squishier than others, and, you know, I just wonder, what goes in each one.
Right. You know, there are certain foods that I love as towers, like Village Inn in Skokie has the Tower of Onion Rings. They used to. Hackney's, you ever been to Hackney's and had the brick onion loaf?
That thing is amazing.
I actually worked at Hackney's, yeah. My brother worked there a long time. I worked there one day, and I slipped on an onion ring and said, to hell with this. But we grew up going to Hackney's because I lived in Glenview. My dad, that's famous, that loaf.
And the Hackney's loaf is awesome, and, you know, certain foods should have shapes and be served that way. Sausage, I don't think so. Only one day, and the real reason that you never went back is because you slipped an onion ring, or is there like another part of the story?
I was spoiled as hell too, because my dad was a weatherman, you know. So
your dad was a weatherman. Would we know who your dad? Would we know who your dad is?
Yeah, Eddie Volkman.
I thought so. Would this be the Eddie Volkman?
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie, it's great. It's great to hear you. And I've told you this in person. In first grade, Harry Volkman came to West School in Glencoe to speak to our class. It was so cool. I'd never like seen a person from TV in person before. He could not have been nicer, and he loved me because we share the name Harry. And our teacher got him a boutonniere. Harry Staple, I don't have to tell you, but Harry Staple was that he would always wear like a really stylish boutonniere on his lapel when he did the weather, and he wore the one that we gave him, that the teacher gave him that night on the news, and he mentioned the school. We just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
You know, it's funny you said, what grade was that for you?
First grade.
Okay, first grade. My older brother, Jerry, went to school the first day. You said you'd never seen anybody from TV before.
Right.
And my dad's circle of friends were all other TV guys. So my brother went to school the first day and asked the other kids, what channel is your dad on? That's the old story. Because he didn't, you know, we hung around with all the other children, you know, broadcast brats.
Right. So. You never thought, like, you know, you just thought that's the way it is. Everybody's got it. Hey, you know, I thought every 5-year-old could read a racing form.
Yeah, there you go. So, all right. Nothing weird at my house for Super Bowl, just the usual boring but delicious Super Bowl fare.
Well, I will look forward. What time should I be there, Eddie?
The food will be gone by kickoff, so yeah, like 4 hours ahead of time. Be there by the time the Puppy Bowl kicks off.
Oh, we will be. I'm hearing wonderful things about Fifi this year.
All right, I'll put my money there.
Right. At Eddie's party, that could be a dog or a guest. We never know. Thanks. Always a pleasure, Mr. Volkman.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you. We'll step away for just a second. Right back with the news on WGN Radio 720. Disclosure, I remember the song I could not pull the artist, and then Ben Anderson executively producing tonight says it's Etta James. Hi, I'm Harry. Harry Tainowitz in for Nick DiGiulio. We celebrate Black History Month, which started 3 hours and 35 minutes ago, and it is a very special month to honor people that have done so many good things and have dealt with so much ridiculousness until the point now where we've finally had an African-American president and many other black people who've done so much for Americans have finally been recognized and appreciated. We are currently talking we are a Trump-free show. We are talking about the Kentucky Fried Chicken chicken Cheetos sandwich. From time to time, fast food restaurants will try new foods. And this one, unfortunately, is not being offered in Illinois. Some of the other foods that have been offered, Doritos Crunchy Crust Pizza, a Buffalo Latte, Bacon Mac and Cheese Toasty, Greek Mac, a Flying Fish Roast Salmon Cream Cheese Pizza. I have never had a Flying Fish Roe salmon cream cheese pizza, but I listen to them quite often. This would be Lance, who called 312-981-7200. Lance is in Michigan. Hey, Lance, thanks for calling. How is your day going so far?
Well, I'm driving in snow, so it can't be that good.
I got you. Well, where in Michigan are you, buddy?
Right now, I just passed Benton Harbor, going through Pawpaw right now.
Wouldn't one paw have been enough?
Well, you know what? Yeah, but, you know, that's their city. That's their city.
Yep. You're about 15 minutes from my in-law's house.
Oh, okay, good. The truck almost hit me. That was good.
Yeah. Okay, so Ben Anderson, our executive producer, said that you wanted to discuss the chicken Cheetos sandwich. Is this a philosophical discussion, or have you actually had the pleasure of trying one?
Well, I wouldn't mind trying one. It sounds pretty good to me. I've known people who have taken Doritos and have ground them up and put it on chicken, and they had actually baked it. And I know another gentleman who takes oatmeal, he grinds it up in his blender, and he used that as a breading. So people use different types of breading for chicken. But now with the Cheetos, you can't fry it because the Cheetos would burn before the chicken cooks. So it has to be a baked type chicken. Or unless they have a different type of Cheetos they're using.
Right. Well, I think it's in like the batter. It's in like the the batter that is covering up the chicken.
Oh, going to be a Cheetos batter.
Yes, I believe that is the case. So it's like encrusted Cheetos chicken sandwich. And you know, my whole thing, you know, if you want to try that, more power to you, Lance. But like KFC is awfully damn good to start with. I don't know if we need to try other crazy things there.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that now. Why change? Why mess with what's good? But, you know, people like to try different things, like Taco Bell had the Doritos tacos and, different things, you know, people like to try. So, you know, everybody's trying to stay one step ahead of the next guy because we look at McDonald's, how they're expanding out with their cafe. And then we look at the other restaurants, how they constantly adding certain things. So it's always a race to who can come out with the next big thing.
Right. I'm looking forward to the McChateaubriand at McDonald's coming soon. What is the weirdest thing that you've ever tasted, that you've ever tried?
My wife's cooking when I first married her. and I'm glad she's not listening right now because she'll kill me if she hears me say that. But pretty bad. But I really haven't had it. To me personally, I'm like a Tasmanian devil. I can pretty much eat anything. That's how I am.
Wow, you're like a whirling dervish of cuisine.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my motto is if it tastes bad, eat it fast.
I like that. It works, and no one will ever get upset with you. All right. Well,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. You know, speaking of my in-laws, the very first time I went to Kalamazoo to meet my future mother-in-law and father-in-law, my mother-in-law made pot roast, and my mother-in-law turns out she's a great cook, but her pot roast is not the best thing she makes. And of course, it's my first day with them, my first meal with them. My wife loves it. She's raving about it. Oh, Mom, thanks for making your pot roast. And I'm thinking, like, it wouldn't, you know, the Geneva Convention would not allow you to serve this to prisoners. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I told her I raved about the pot roast. So for the rest of all time, since that day, every time we go to visit her house, the first day we always get pot roast. It is just... It is rough. But, Lance, I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day now.
You have a good day. Kentucky Fried Chicken is sampling the chicken Cheeto sandwich, and I want to know what in fact you make that is like the weirdest thing that comes out of your kitchen, or what have you eaten that has been very bizarre that you have gone ahead and tried. I ate alligator, and I ate ostrich, an ostrich burger. And, you know, turkey burgers I love. Ostrich burger I did not love, but I tried it. And it's okay. As far as putting stuff on sandwiches, this isn't like a tough thing, but a lot of people put potato chips on sandwich. And that just makes sense. I mean, you're going to have like a sandwich with potato chips anyways. Might as well put them on the sandwich. You know, it cuts out the middleman. It saves you time. You've already got the chips on top of the sandwich. You don't have to go sandwich, chip. You don't have to worry about running your plate. You just go ahead and you consume, and really you get all the joy in one taste, one bite. You don't have like a multiple sensation going on. So you know, that's one way to do it. I'm looking at some of the other items that have been offered in fast food restaurants. These are the strangest things that have ever been offered in fast food restaurants. Dunkin' Donuts offered a China dry pork and seaweed donut. Now, I'm not a big lover of seaweed, but if that was like a dish, I would eat it. Dry pork and seaweed in a donut? That's just disgusting. I mean, who would eat that? Pizza Hut, the Doritos, cheese crusted pizza. That sounds okay. It's a Doritos crunchy cheese crust pizza. Looking around and at some of the other stuff that's been offered, Mickey D's also did a bacon macaroni and cheese toasty. To me, that's genius. To me, that's not like I dare you to try it. To me, that's just like a brilliant, brilliant move. I think that, you know, they should go back to doing more of that. McDonald's offered rice porridge. No thanks. I'll pass. Whoa, here's the thing. Jimmy Dean's offers barbecued Frankfurter pizza. I'm out. I want no part of that.
What's the name of that pizza place up in Wrigleyville? You know, they do the late night drinking, but they serve a
pizza. The pizza place up in Wrigleyville, there's 700 of them.
Yeah, but it's open later. It's right, let's hear. I want to say it's off Sheffield.
Well, there's the one that Ryan Dempster does his charity event at, which is like Roscoe and Addison.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think it's at Sheffield and Clark.
Sheffield and Clark. Is it?
It's like right next to the Einstein Bagels there in the corner.
Oh, you know, those were my drinking days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't recall.
But they do pizza by the slice there. And
pizza by the slice, always a good idea. Uh-huh.
And one of the regular pizzas that they have available has Frankfurter.
You know, really?
Yeah, hot dog Frankfurter on it.
See, I would try that.
Yeah.
I would try that.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think I'd order it, you know, like if I was ordering a pizza, you know, like Super Bowl Sunday, if we get multiple pizzas, I would try that.
It's great, you know, on game day, you know, down, you know, on the north side with the Cubbies.
Yeah.
And you get out there with a couple beers, and
I've tried the ham and pineapple, the Hawaiian pizza. Have you done that?
That's always good.
Yeah. We need to step away for just a sec. When we come back, you reminded me of a story, Ben. When the Cubs clinched the division, why was I surprised to be stopped on the street heading back from Wrigley Field to Johnny O'Hagan's, my favorite Irish pub? What happened? It involved food, of course. I'm Harry, and for Nick, this is WGN Radio 720. Come on, Michael. give it one more chance. The Jackson 5 as we celebrate Black History Month. This is WGN Radio, Nick DiGiulio Show. Nick has the evening off. I'm Harry Tynowitz. Happy to be here in for Nick. Catch me and At the Carm Saturday 4 to 6:30 before the Blackhawks take on the Wild. The Hawks back-to-back games to swing into action. They've been off forever, man. They have been off since they knocked off the Islanders. Hawks have won two in a row, in case you don't remember, but the Hawks are in Buffalo tomorrow night. I want to say the Odd. I'm sure it's not called the Odd anymore. Jack Eichel and Jeff Skinner, a very, very talented young team. Sabres are playing great. Tomorrow night's 5:30 pregame with Chris Bowden, 6 o'clock, puck drop, John and Troy. And then it's a 6:30 pregame Saturday night as the Blackhawks take on the Minnesota Wild. Now Nino Niederreiter-free Minnesota Wild, 6:30 pre with Bowden, and 7 o'clock, John Weideman, he'll let you know when the puck's along the half boards, and Troy Murray, they've got the Blackhawks and the Minnesota Wild. Okay, so going on here, we're talking about the Kentucky Fried Chicken Cheeto sandwich, which is being sampled in other states, not in Illinois. Too bad. So sad. I'm so glad, actually. Looking at other fast food offerings in Japan, speaking with Ben Anderson, doing a great job executively producing the show tonight. So three very bizarre things you can get at the Burger King in Japan. They offer a berry burger. A berry burger, in case you're wondering, is a black pepper mixed beef patty covered in a sauce made with raspberries, cranberries, blueberries, and red wine.
Interesting.
Very interesting. They also offer a black burger in honor of Black History Month, I guess. The black burger is it's a black Kuro burger. And it is made with black squid ink on a charred black bun. And then here's the one that I would try, deep-fried salmon. It looks great, but it's not available in America. It's available in Japan. And we were talking about the weirdest thing you've eaten and the weirdest thing that you make. Tony is in Champaign. Champaign Tony Eason was the quarterback when the Bears played the Patriots. Patriots' first Super Bowl ever. They lost 46-10. And if Tom Thayer didn't bump into Walter Payton, or if Walter didn't bump into Thayer, they would have never fumbled. Patriots would have never gotten the field goal from the barefooted kicker out of Texas A&M, Tony Franklin. And the Bears would have had the only shutout in Super Bowl history. Champagne Tony, you're on WGN, my friend. How is your Friday going so far?
Going good so far. Hey, went to Memphis last summer and was introduced to, I mean, they put barbecue on everything down there.
Sure.
But the best thing I had was barbecued spaghetti.
What?
That's a big thing, and it's wonderful. I can't eat spaghetti with red sauce anymore. It was just, they do barbecue nachos, but they put pulled pork on top of their nachos with barbecue sauce. Both of them are excellent.
So this is like for real. It's not a joke. They barbecue everything.
No, it's really good. The spaghetti and, like I said, yeah, they'll put it on anything. It just enhances both of them.
That's pretty cool. I know that there's like three kinds of barbecue, and the people are really passionate. Like, I had no idea how passionate people are about their barbecue, right? There's Carolina barbecue, there's Texas barbecue, and then I guess the third
Kansas City and Memphis,
yeah.
Yeah, so I know Arthur Bryan's is the big place in Kansas City. So that sounds, you know, in Cincinnati, the big thing is Skyline's chili. It is
right,
like,
correct, yep.
And in the Skyline chili, they serve spaghetti in the chili.
Yeah, like Steak and Shake's chili three ways, or chili five, or chili mac, yeah.
Right. And the chili, chili five ways sometimes doesn't refer to the chili as it comes in. But that's kind of cool.
If you make it that far south, make sure to try it out.
And in Champaign, where's the best place to eat in Champaign? Cam's?
No, they don't serve food. They couldn't hold a license to serve food.
Okay, there was a Mexican place that was really good. I cannot call it.
Maze?
No.
Maze has been on TV several times. There's a barbecue place down here called Black Dog. that's supposed to be, they have two locations now, supposed to be rated the top 10 in the country. So
really?
It's good. So if you make it down for a line, I think, check those out.
I know that there's a Led Zeppelin album called Black Dog. I appreciate the call, Champagne Tony. Right. Call again. Thank you very, very much. Now I'm looking at this Japan menu. Ben Anderson, executively producing. How about this for what you could order at the Japanese? So we've been to Burger King in Japan. At the McDonald's in Japan, pumpkin spice French fries.
What?
Pumpkin spice. You thought America it has the lock on all things pumpkin spice. Well, guess what? McDonald's Japan has us beat. About a month prior to Halloween in 2016, when they released salty sweet pumpkin spice French fries, a twist on the chain's popular chocolate covered fries. They're doing chocolate covered fries?
Wait. Let's go back to this pumpkin spice.
More colorful version featured French fries covered in chocolate and pumpkin sauce. I'm looking at the picture. Okay. It's like Hershey's syrup and pumpkin syrup covering the French fries.
Because the way you described it at first, I'm just going in my head, they're confused and they don't know what a sweet potato is.
Well, they could be, but I don't know. They're smarter than us. My daughter's favorite class at Evanston High School is Japan. Evanston High School is a wonderful high school.
That's what I hear.
It's just a wonderful high school. It offers so much to so many people, and so many people, you know, catapult from Evanston to wonderful college experiences and do great out in the real world. But there's definitely a chip on their shoulder towards my high school that I attended, New Trier.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter always says, well, Dad, you know, New Trier, you guys are, you know, you're just entitled to everything. Well, we never went to Japan for 13 days, Lucy. Evanston High School, if you get good grades, you get to qualify for a trip to the course that you're taking's home country. So Lucy, you know, 4 years Japanese student, she got to go to Japan. And she comes home and she told me how wonderful it is, how great it is, and all the things she did. And all I'm thinking of is, yeah, but you blew it. You didn't go to McDonald's for the pumpkin spice fries. You didn't go to Burger King for the fried salmon. Okay, so you were telling the story about the pizza place in McDonald's. Let me tell you this story quickly. When the Cubs clinched the division one night, I believe they knocked off the Brewers. And I want to say that this would have been... this would have been their first time to the playoffs before, I want to say 2014 maybe. And they, 2015, we were watching it from my buddy's Irish pub, Johnny O'Hagan's, which is like a block south of the ballpark. So the Cubs win. And we all take off to go to Wrigley Field. That's the place to be. The Cubs just won. And I lost my group. And, you know, I'm walking around Wrigley and I'm stumbling around. I was still carousing those days. And I bump into my friends. Then we're like high-fiving each other. We're high-fiving strangers. Oh, this is awesome. This is great. We start walking back down Clark Street towards Johnny O'Hagan's. And this Asian gentleman comes up to me. And he goes, hey. And my friend Ben Finfer goes, how do you know that guy? I go, I don't know. Maybe he's a listener. Maybe I know him from the track. He goes, Harry. He goes, here's your card. And the guy hands me my credit card. Like, who is this guy? Why does he have my card? He goes, here's your food. And he hands me a shopping bag filled with Chinese food. And he goes, it comes to $43. So turns out the reason I had lost my group going the block from Johnny O'Hagan's Irish Pub to Wrigley Field was that I stopped to order $43 worth of Chinese food. Which seemed like a good idea at the time.
You do realize when I see Finfer later next week, I'm going to bring that
up. Oh, yeah, you ask him about it.
I definitely will.
That story is legit, too legit to quit. We step away for 1 second. We come back. We're headed towards the power hour. So we're going to go straight to news. So that's what we'll do. We'll go straight to news. The last couple nights, Nick DiGiulio has had a lot of fun. You know, what's cool about radio, and man, I did a 5 day show 5 week. Try that again. Take two. Okay. I did a 5 days a week radio show for 20 years in this town, and right now I'm currently available on Saturdays to the general public, 4 to 7. And what's fun about doing radio is that you get to create and you get to interact and you take advantage of what's topical. And like when the Bears would lose, you know, okay, we're going to talk about the Bears losing today, but how are we going to do it differently than everybody else? What are we going to do that's, you know, what angle are we going to take? So 2 nights ago, Nick DiGiulio, to deal with the freezing cold temps, instead of talking about, man, it's so cold, oh, man, is it freezing, he asked people their favorite movie that took place in the cold. Last night, he counters that with your favorite warm weather film. So Ben Anderson, who's brilliant, I'm just responsible for bringing in the chocolate babka, which is like chocolate babka is like a coffee cake.
It's like deliciousness.
It is deliciousness. Vic Vaughn, have you tried the chocolate coffee cake, chocolate babka yet?
Not yet. I'm not sure when to do it. When's the right moment? Because I'm going to.
We
you guys
deliver.
Were talking earlier about piggies in a blanket, mm-hmm. Meatballs with this secret grape jelly such, which I've never heard of. I'm actually thinking about eating that for breakfast. I'm not kidding.
don't worry,
that's
Vic.
My dinner.
Don't worry, we deliver.
Yeah, okay. We do. You'll have to come in. The right time to eat it, I think, is between the news and the sports and weather. That's the. But then you'll have it in your mouth when you do the sports and weather, and that'll be much more entertaining for the listeners. So the Super Bowl is Sunday. We want to know your favorite sports movie. Let's talk, what is your favorite sports movie of all time?
Cancel the Super Bowl?
Yes, sir.
It's the most ridiculous suggestion I've ever heard. That's like canceling Christmas. If you do it, you might as well cancel every athletic contest in this country.
That is Joe Robbie talking to Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw from Jaws. Robert Shaw from Russia with Love. Robert Shaw from The Sting. I don't know. I'll take that back. Not in The Sting. Robert Shaw is the security guy in a movie called Black Sunday, where Bruce Dern, a Nutria grad, by the way, see how I tied that in nicely? Bruce Dern is part of a terrorist group called Black September, and they have announced they're going to do something terrible to America on this day, and then Robert Shaw, the security guard, figures out that they're coming to the Super Bowl. And Black Sunday is all about how are they going to stop Black September from coming to the Super Bowl. And that's the scene when he asks the owner of the Dolphins, Joe Robbie, that's kind of weird, you know, the Dolphins used to play in Joe Robbie Stadium. What a coincidence that a guy by that name would own the Dolphins. He asked Joe Robbie, why don't you just call off the game? And that's his response. Call off the Super Bowl? You can't do that. So Black Sunday, not the greatest sports movie ever, but a lot of sports movies tend to be about, you know, something goes bad, but the team rallies around each other and they come back and win. This is not that movie. This is a different movie. So if you get a chance, check out Black Sunday. All right, so DiGiulio, clever boy he is, he did your favorite cold weather movie, your favorite warm weather movie. Well, I'm staring the Super Bowl 53 in the face on Sunday, so I just want to know one thing. What is your favorite sports-related movie? It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call. That's all we want to know. Here is somebody checking in from the 847 saying it's a tie between Rudy and Rocky. Rudy's pretty good. I don't want to spoil it, but it's been about 20 years. The scene where they all bring the jerseys to the coach is awesome, but Rocky blows Rudy away. Jimbo, I wonder if that's the same Jimbo. Jimbo says The Rookie is a great movie. Here you go. This is nice. This is from the 815 Miracle. Miracle is the story of the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, where the American team knocks off the Russians. Kurt Russell plays Coach Herb Brooks. Looked just like him. And if you YouTube, if you Google, little kid does Herb Brooks' speech, you will not be disappointed. So I want to know simply, what is your favorite sports movie? 312-981-7200. Madam Rose is online. Madam Rose, you're on WGN.
Hi there, Harry. Yeah, somebody just already got mine. I was going to say The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. I think it's his best performance.
And it's great. Now, for people that have not seen it, I'm echoing. Do you have the radio on? Could you turn the radio on?
It's way in the other room. It would take me too long to get to it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So echo. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Dennis Quaid plays a guy. He's a teacher who, like, in his mid-30s, he makes the Tampa Bay Rays. And he plays in a game in Texas, where he's from, against the Rangers. Rose, I'm getting echo. I'm going to have to let you go. But thanks.
The little kid in that is the kid from Three and a Half Men, his son, the kid who plays his son.
Oh, yeah. Right, Jake.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about the echo. I'll let you go. You can keep talking about the wonderful Dennis Quaid and The Rookie. Okay.
Please don't apologize. Thank you very much for calling. Rose leaves the line open. So it's a pretty cool movie because this just, you know, one guy's story. He's like the baseball coach in high school, and they dare him. They challenge him to go out, and there's a tryout, go out and make this team, and he goes out for it, and he makes the team. Ben, you ever see The Rookie?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my mom's favorite feel-good sports movies.
So what are you saying? It's for older people?
No, she's just a sucker for those stories.
And it's a feel-good. It's definitely a feel-good. Yeah. So, like, would you here's where you get into the argument. Would you call The Blind Side a sports movie?
Yes, I would.
It's about – The Blind Side is the true story of Michael Orr, the Super Bowl-winning offensive tackle from the Baltimore Ravens, who played high school and college in Mississippi. Sandra Bullock won the Academy Award Best Actress for her performance in The Blind Side. And it's about this very well-to-do white family who takes in this black kid who's down on his luck, and he becomes part of the family. And, you know, the story is that he, you know, he is able to focus on football, and he becomes this football star and makes the NFL. But to me, that's like a sports movie second. It's a story about life first, but it's really, really good. And, boy, in the TV show Barry, which is on HBO with Henry Winkler and Josh Hader, they reference doing a monologue from that movie where she tells him, "You got to protect the quarterback, you know, like you get protect the backfield like they're your family, like they're us." So that's a really good movie. I'm glad that Rose thought of that, and I'm glad that Jimbo thought of it. Taxi Driver Bob. Well. Look what the wind blew in. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Harry. Geez, man. I turn on the radio and I hear your voice, and man, you're like wide awake. What are you, jacked up on Red Bull and Bobka, chocolate Bobka, or what's going on up there?
Chocolate Bobka will put a little skip in your step. Yes, it will.
Yeah, it always did with me. I really. There's a lot of good sports movies, but I'm 58, and when I saw The Pride of the Yankees with Gary Cooper on TV in the black and white, the history of the – I'm not – you know, don't get me wrong. I'm a big Cub fan, not a big New York Mets or Yankee fan, but there's so much history behind the Yankees and Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, and Gary Cooper did a great job in playing Lou Gehrig and you know, that the caller prior with the echo, I was thinking of Lou Gehrig speaking to the Yankee fans at the stadium saying, "I feel like I'm the most lucky man in the world," and
yeah,
all that. I don't know, just the black and white and the history of everything. It really, if you're a baseball purist, you know, you really could enjoy that movie. You know,
it's a great movie. You know, it's a fantastic movie. And one of the things I love about it is they shot scenes in an old Comiskey Park. You see the arches in the outfield. And
I did not know that.
Yeah. And that's where Gehrig got into his first game at Comiskey Park. And it's really, really fun to watch. It's great. All right. Taxi Driver Bob, a lot of people want to talk, so we're going to try to get to as many people as possible. Thank you. Thank you for checking in. We appreciate it. Texters are all over. You can call or text us at 312-981-7200. From the 630, mentions Lou Gehrig's story, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And League of Their Own. Did you see League of Their Own, Ben?
Oh, yeah, from the late, great Penny Marshall.
Yeah, I met her at Wrigley Field one night, and she was awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she was really cool. She also directed Big.
Yeah.
League of Their Own, of course, is about the female baseball league that happened mm-hmm. during the war when a lot of the players, like Ted Williams and other greats, got called over to fight for America in WW2, and the Rockford Peaches are the big team here, and they filmed a lot of that at Wrigley Field, and you know, There's No Crying in Baseball is from that movie, and Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna are in it, but all I remember from that movie is John Lovitz. See, the way this works is the train moves. You know, the ground stays here, and the train moves. That's awesome. Here's a guy saying, I know people like this, but from the 847, Rush, Formula One at its best.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's where we get into the argument again, or the discussion. Is this a sports movie? If it is, it's one of the funniest sports movies ever. It is Caddyshack. Caddyshack.
I'll give it sports movie, because there's still a competition in there.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the one thing about Caddyshack I'll say, okay? First of all, Bill Murray's brilliant.
Oh, hands down.
Bill Murray's brilliant, and Ted Knight left us far too early. Ted Knight is so great in that movie. But I don't golf, okay? Like, growing up, if it was nice out, I was going to the ballpark, or I was going to the racetrack, or I was getting turned down by some hot chick at a pool. But if you go to any golf course, as soon as you step out on the golf course, you cannot help but make Caddyshack references. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you step out on the baseball field, you don't feel the need to, like, you know, quote all the great lines from baseball movies. But if you step out on a golf course, you cannot help but just, you know, start quoting Caddyshack lines. So I get that. For the love of the game, 219. I'm gonna politely disagree with that. Ben, are you a fan of that movie?
For love of the game,
mm-hmm. That's the one where Kevin Costner is the pitcher for the Tigers, and John C. Reilly is his catcher, and he's in the middle of a perfect game.
Yep.
And he in throughout the movie, as he's pitching his perfect game, he's reflecting back on his life.
Yeah, I give it a half and half.
Okay, I'm passing on the obvious joke.
I mean, yeah. You know, I would not consider it a full-blown sports movie, because that's not the drive of the storyline.
Okay, here's the funny. I wish we had a prize to give. Gene from the 708, Ice Castles. I love it.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Lynn Holly Johnson, who I believe was also a Bond girl. Kicking and Screaming from the 708, because the coach is in there. Yes, he is. Dicka's cameo.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Did I ever see The Cutting Edge? Is The Cutting Edge the movie about the hockey player who can no longer play hockey, so he becomes an Olympic pair skater?
Moira Kelly, I believe.
Yeah, Moira Kelly. Yeah. And who's the guy in that?
I forget.
Oh, I can get that.
He did a bunch of stuff in the 90s. And
Right. But D.B. Sweeney, right?
Yes.
Yeah, D.B. Sweeney, without going to my phone. How about that? Yeah. What do I win? Topek, that's not a bad movie. It's not like the greatest sports movie ever. We have different things. Do we need to break?
Yeah, we probably should.
We'll break. We'll come back with Kathy. We're going to keep talking about this. We'll come back with Kathy. We'll come back with one of the greatest sports movies ever, and then it'll be Kathy's turn. We want to know, what is your favorite sports movie? Super Bowl's 2 days away. Any sport. What is it? Seabiscuit is awesome. I love horse racing. Seabiscuit's an awesome movie. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGiulio has the night off. I'm Harry. I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. This is WGN Radio 720. This is your cousin, Marvin Berry.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the...
We are celebrating Black History Month this morning on WGN Radio. Nick DiGiulio show. Nick is not with you tonight. He'll be back on Monday evening. Sunday night, catch him. I am Harry, and I'm here for you. We are asking the question, because Nick did your favorite cold movie on Wednesday, on Tuesday night, your favorite warm weather movie on Thursday night. We're asking tonight, on Wednesday night, we're asking tonight, can we do this again? Take three. What is your favorite sports movie? Because the Super Bowl is just 2 days away. Kathy, we appreciate your patience. Kathy, you're on WGN.
Yeah, mine is The Natural.
Why do you love The Natural?
First of all, Robert Redford.
He is attractive.
The music. Mm-hmm. And then third of all, the ending.
The ending?
Yes.
Yeah, the ending is pretty damn cool. Do you remember the name of the bat in The Natural?
Was it lightning or something with lightning? And I don't know.
Right.
Along those lines.
Then the one he makes for the bat boy, for the kid. Do you remember that one?
Oh, no, I do not. What is it?
It is Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy. You got a great memory and a great way of... summarizing movies, by the way.
Oh, why, thank you. I wish I could do something with it. The Natural is really good. The Natural is terrific. Robert Duvall is in it, and it's just a fun movie. It's a baseball movie, but Wilford Brimley is the manager, and it's, you know, set back in the day. Old-time uniforms really set the tone for it. Again, what makes it great, and this is when my daughter came home and told me that she had seen The Natural, and she goes, Dad, you know, it's not just a sports movie, it's about life. I'm like, ding, 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 we have a winner. So, yeah.
Well, you know, it also talks about how older players can still achieve, you know, because he's kind of the old man on the team.
Right. Let that be a lesson in life. Older people can do, it can achieve anywhere. Kathy,
hey, with the Super Bowl coming up, don't forget Brian's song.
I will not forget Brian Song, James Caan, and Billy Dee Williams, and that's just a fun movie. One of my favorite things about Brian Song is so many former Bears are in that movie. Like Bobby Douglas is in that movie, and Abe Gibron, the old Bears coach, is in that movie. It's a lot of fun. What's that?
Is Gale Sayers in that one?
No, he does. He's not. I mean, obviously Billy Dee Williams plays Gale Sayers. But but he is not in that movie. Kathy, thanks for calling. I appreciate the nice words, and thanks for participating. All right, thank you. Kathy leaves the line open. She's telling me how solid I am on the radio, and my ringer goes off. At least it's not a big-time program director hearing his own text going off as he's listening to the show. Mike in Schaumburg, it's your turn next. Hi, Mike. You're on WGN Radio. We're talking sports movies, and you're making lots of noise.
Hey, good morning, Harry. I'm in my car driving to work at this unbelievable hour.
Well, you're good for you, man. You got a gig. You're being honest. You're taking care of your family.
Damn straight, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was wondering, you brought up Caddyshack earlier. Did you ever see the documentary about the making of Caddyshack?
No, shame on me. I didn't. Bill Murray's my absolute favorite actor, and the coolest thing about Bill Murray is he's the funniest person in America, but he's not the funniest person in his family.
No, but he and his brothers worked at a country club called Indian Hills in Wilmette, Illinois.
I know it well.
Okay. That movie was based on that country club.
Yep. Yep, Indian Hill, singular, okay. Yes.
Right. So it's a fantastic documentary. It goes behind the scenes. It tells about the riffraff between Bill Murray and Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, Rodney Dangerfield and Ted Knight. And there's one scene, I forgot exactly where it's at, but there's a long table to back, and they're actually doing drugs on the table.
It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me.
It's a fantastic documentary.
Bill, yeah, I will try to find it. I will ask. I'm buddies with Joel Murray, and he's the funniest Murray. And I will ask Joel what the deal is. Mike, have a safe trip. Have a great day at work. Okay, buddy.
You do the same, and you do an outstanding show, Harry. I listen to you and Carm all the time.
He's great. He is so damn adorable on the radio. Thank you very much for calling, Mike. We need to step away, Ben, or we can keep going?
We can keep going for a minute or two.
Okay, for a minute or two. Yeah. I don't want.
And I know exactly which documentary he's talking about. It's really good.
Is it great?
Yeah. Because they really get into the depth and of the background of how everything came together and how it almost didn't come together.
I love that. Well, Brian Doyle Murray, you know, who like was the genius behind writing the script. He's a lot of you recognize him. Well, he's in Wayne's World. He's a big part in that. He's the owner of the TV station. He's great. I know he had a relationship with the. The guy that was in charge of the caddies, you know, well, how come the price of Cokes went up? Lou's been losing at the track again. It's such a great movie. Do you know the same girl who plays the female lead in Caddyshack is also the same girl who passes out drunk in the shopping cart in Animal House? She is in the two, like, most important comedies, coming-of-age comedies of the 70s, the same chick. And I cannot tell you her name.
Ooh, I'll have to look it up.
Please do. Let's grab one more. This is Dave. Dave, you're on WGN Radio. We appreciate everybody's patience. We're trying to get to all of you. Morning. Hey, Dave. Morning.
Morning, Harry. Hey, I know Nick would like these two, Slapshot and Major League.
Well, I mean, they're both great. Major League, of course, stars Wesley Snipes, Tom Berenger, Bill Leff, and Charlie Sheen. Slapshot. Wouldn't it be great, Dave, if we had a scene from Slapshot and we could just play it right now and listen? Let's hope.
Yes, the three wheels are going to put their sticks.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win. Play heads up out there. I mean, let's be smart. Man for man, we're better than any club in the league. And just put our minds to it.
We're number one.
That's it. I mean, that's my favorite. That is my very favorite sports movie, Slapshot. It is so great. 1977, Paul Newman is the player coach of the Charleston Chiefs, low-level minor league hockey team. The team is going to shut down for business, and he creates this rumor that the team is being purchased by retired hockey fans in Florida, and it gets the team going, and they call up these three brothers, the Hanson brothers, who are more about fighting than they are about hockey. And it is just such a fun movie. You know, they're playing the national anthem and the ref's staring at him and he goes, "Hey, I'm listening to the blanking song." That Dave, I love Slapshot and I love you for saying Slapshot.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, tell you one thing. Buy your mother-in-law the Instapot. The pot roasting, that thing is great.
Oh, so I could go up there and I could eat pot roast and not have to fib.
Exactly. It comes out great. You can look up the recipes on YouTube. You'll love it.
Instapot.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's how Josh Gordon of the Patriots got in trouble. All right, thanks.
You guys take it easy.
Yeah, you take it easy. Thanks. In case you weren't with us earlier, I was talking about the first day I met my in-laws in Kalamazoo, and my mother-in-law-to-be, who's awesome, who's wonderful, she made pot roast, and I told her it was the greatest thing I've ever had, and of course I was sort of fibbing, so now we have it the first day every time I go up there. But I haven't been invited back lately. It's amazing how life works. Am I throwing it to news here, sir? Let's do like a 30-second spot, then we'll throw it to news, and we're having so much fun. We'll take some more calls on sports movies. Also, I've got a story I wrote for The Athletic, which you should see this weekend. I want to read it for you before we get out of here. It is the reason to bet the Rams. This is Harry and for Nick DiGiulio on WGN 720. We miss you, Aretha. Aretha has sung the national anthem before, and Gladys Knight will sing it on Sunday. No Pips will be harmed during the singing of the national anthem, as No Pips will be there. It is Black History Month, and we celebrate that. We acknowledge Black History Month, and we have been enjoying the music all day of Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, people that we grew, Chuck Berry, the people that we grew up listening to, and just, you know, their music is part of our life. And we also love movies, because movies allow us the chance to escape. And more than ever, some of us really need that now. I've never seen this movie, but Ben Anderson, our executive producer, has. He says, take John's call on line three. John, thanks for waiting. You're so patient. We want to get to everybody. John, you're on WGN. What's growing on?
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me tonight? I'm plowing out in the... plowing a lot tonight.
Yes, thank you for being a plower. Just a couple Super Bowls ago, we needed a snow plower desperately.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, people, I live on a cul-de-sac with four smaller cul-de-sacs, and we asked the mayor, somebody asked the mayor, why don't we get speed bumps? He said, because of snow plows.
Absolutely. They'll tear up a truck.
Right, so he says, yep. Snow plows won't want any part of your street if you put some speed bumps up.
I vote for him.
Yeah, you should, Mayor George Van Dusen of Skokie, the finest mayor. He's on my top five mayor lists. Yes, along with Larry Mayer, who writes for the Bears website. Okay, John, what sports movie do you love?
You know what? I would consider it a sports movie if you're a vehicle guy. I'm a motorcycle and car guy myself. I retired from the body shop business about 4 years ago. But World's Fastest Indian, and it's about a motorcycle record that's still held on the salt flats out here in our country.
Okay.
Yeah, out at the Bonneville salt flats in
Bonneville
Utah.
Salt flats. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for the help there. I don't remember like I used to.
I have not seen the movie. What else can you tell me about it?
What an inspirational movie. I'll tell you, a guy came from, you know, to compete with all of these guys that are backed by big sponsors and everything else every year. They're return competitors every year and everything else. And here comes this guy, I think from Australia, if I remember right.
New Zealand. It was New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what an inspirational movie. You do not have to be a motorcycle guy to be inspired by the way that movie goes.
Well,
so I would put that on a top list. Put that on your bucket list, actually.
On my bucket list? My bucket list has Extra Crispy on it.
Okay.
Harry, because I know you're a name kind of guy.
Yes.
The lead that plays Burt Monroe, the lead character, is Anthony Hopkins.
Well, that's a big name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what I like about that movie? I always really enjoy true stories, and that is a true story.
Well, I've never seen it, but I will check it out, and it's called World's Fastest Indian.
Yes. The title just really throws a lot of people, I think, not to watch it, because I'm still in touch with a lot of motorheads out here in Northwest Indiana. A lot of people said, oh, I never heard of that. I said, well, you'll never know it's vehicle-related by the title.
No, I would have...
about an Indian motorcycle is what it is.
I would have guessed it was about Kenny Lofton.
That's right.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very, very much. This is WGN Radio. Normally, Nick DiGiulio is heard here. Nick has the night off. I'm Harry. Happy to be pinch-hitting this evening and getting to talk to all you good people of Chicago. You can hear me every Saturday with the one and only Mark Kerman. He's at the Carm, and we're on 4 to 7 every Saturday. This Saturday, we'll be off a little bit early as the Blackhawks come back with a game tomorrow night in Buffalo. Then Saturday, they get Minnesota. 5:30 pregame with Bowden tomorrow. 6 o'clock puck drop. Hawks and the Sabres, Weideman and Murray. And then John and Troy have a 7 o'clock face-off after Bowden's 6:30 pregame Saturday night, so we're off at 6:30 for Blackhawks and Wild. This would be Glenn. Glenn, you're on WGN.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm living a lie, but enough about me.
Same here.
Mm-hmm.
The Replacements, which is a good movie. I've only seen it once. I really liked it. And Paper Lion.
Wow, you're going back old school.
Yeah, it's old school. You know, I've only seen that once, but well, it's based off the book. But
right. So Paper Lion is George Plimpton's story of when he spent an entire training camp with the Detroit Lions. And the deal was that he would be with them for all of training camp, just like a regular player. And he was like an aging, you know, he was like a 30-something, you know, writer. And his deal was he would get four downs in an actual playoff game. And he came in and he played four downs, and I believe against the Colts. And it's a pretty cool story. You know, they just honored Alan Alda at the SAG Awards last Sunday night. And in the clip for him, they show a scene from Paper Lion. That was pretty cool. Replacements, I'm not so sure that cuts the top 200 of sports movies, though.
Oh, I think it's hysterical. I love that movie. I do.
I've got to watch it again.
It's entertaining. I'm not saying it's the most realistic football movie out there, but it's just entertaining. Yeah. That's all I got for it.
I'm gonna have to give it another try. I guess.
I mean, it's another good Hackman.
Hackman
movie.
You can't go wrong with Hackman.
Yeah,
I have two lines in a Gene Hackman movie. Can you name the Gene Hackman movie filmed in Chicago with Tommy Lee Jones and Dennis Franz?
Ooh.
I got to meet Gene Hackman. He was very friendly. It's called the Package.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
Andrew Davis directed it. Andrew Davis, who's done several movies in Chicago, directed it. And Tommy Lee Jones is the bad guy. Gene Hackman's the good guy. And Tommy Lee Jones spent the day. I was only there for one day on the set. Risky Business, I have one line. I was there for 8 days. But I was there for one day in the Package. I had two lines. And Tommy Lee Jones spent the day talking about how the toughest college football in the world is Ivy League football. I said, let me guess, you went to Yale. He says, no, Harvard. But that has nothing to do with it. Okay, Tommy Lee. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, Glenn.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
You, my friend, you have a great weekend. Other people that we didn't get to, I'm sorry we did not get to you, but I appreciate that you called. And we got to get ready to clean up and run here because closing bell is coming up shortly. When we get back, I want to tell you about a good Samaritan who did something awesome yesterday. And then I also want to read you this piece that I wrote for The Athletic this weekend about why you should bet the Rams in the Super Bowl. We'll step away for just a moment, and then we'll come right back on WGN Radio 720. To find. If there had been a Jewish Pip, that so would have been me. I would have been like Pippenberg. I believe I called it the closing bell. Jeez, what a moron I am. It's the opening bell. The opening bell with Steve Krasanich, not the closing bell. Very little point to open your day with a show called Closing Bell. It's the opening bell. Ask for it by name. Dave Ennard is in the house. Hi, Dave. How? It's my treat. I'm happy to be here, Dave. Yes, surprise. You'll be surprised later when you get home and I'm there too. Yes. So two things before I get out of here. And again, Dave is one of the best parts of your broadcast day. You can hear him with Justin and there's another guy on that show as well. Oh, it's Steve Cochran. Yes. There was an anonymous gentleman, or I don't even know if it was a gentleman, it could have been a woman, but there's a story by Anna Scheffer, who is my second favorite Anna in Chicago, and she talks about how there were 70 homeless people living on the streets, and they were staying in like a tent city, where they sleep in tents. It was 22 degrees below zero. And they were using, like heaters, propane heaters to warm up. One of the heaters exploded and they were told they couldn't sleep there anymore. They were being taken to a shelter, a warming center, when someone called and said that 70 hotel rooms on the south side had been purchased for the group for the rest of the week. So that story is in the Chicago Tribune. An anonymous person, my rabbi says the only thing better than donating is to donate anonymously. So hats off, props to the person who did this and bought 70 rooms. I remember once Horace Grant, there was a guy outside the Bulls Hotel in Philadelphia, and he asked Horace Grant if he had any money. He wanted to eat something. And Horace Grant said, I'll do you one better than that. And he brought him into the hotel where the Bulls were staying in Philadelphia, which I can only assume was, you know, the Ritz-Carlton or something great like that. And Horace Grant bought him a hotel room for the night.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and you don't hear that story. You don't hear that story. He didn't do it with a photo op. He just did it because are we getting Dave? Is he on the right? Mike 6, Dave. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. It's my fault. He's talking to me. Thank you. Dave, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just think that's a very cool story. I think I had heard that, Harry, years ago, but I had forgotten.
It's great because, you know, there are certain individuals who did a lot of things for charity in this house, in this town. We'd always get a press release. Mm-hmm. We'd always get a phone call. We'd always get an email. And then something like that happens, and you're just like, that's awesome. He really didn't want any attention. He just wanted the guy to, you know, not be outside in the cold weather.
I will say this, though. Sometimes those press releases, I think, also carry an important message, which is, hey, we're doing it. You can do it, too.
Right. Exactly. And I don't mean to take a shot at any of them. I remember one night I was at Harry Carey's enjoying dinner at the bar. I used to love dinner at the bar. Sometimes food was actually consumed. And a bunch of kids came running in, and they went upstairs, and there's Steve Kerr. And I knew Steve Kerr because of Steve Cochran. Kerr was a regular on the Steve Cochran show. And my first question for him every show was, how's Margot, his beautiful wife? And I asked Steve, I go, what's going on? He goes, well, nothing. I go, what are you doing? He goes, nothing. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I take the kids from Maryville Academy out for Christmas dinner every year. I go, we didn't get any kind of press release. He goes, I know. He just wanted to do the right thing. And that's the kind of guy Steve Kerr is. He's been rewarded properly for it.
Yes, he has.
Dave, I enjoyed the broadcast. I did not enjoy the outcome against Maryland, nor against the Badgers of Wisconsin. And boy, I felt old when Rod Strickland's son made a basket.
Yeah, how about that? Ty Strickland.
Yeah. Joey was too excited. Joey, you're
he was. He's got to tone that down a little bit.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah. We don't want to hear it, Joey. You're a Northwestern guy, especially when we're losing. Monday night, Penn State, right?
Penn State. The Nittany Lions, watched them last night against Purdue, and they came from 17 down, took the lead, and then got outscored pretty badly in overtime. Purdue's pretty good.
Yeah, Purdue is damn good.
They're 0-10 in the Big Ten, Harry. That's always a little scary.
Right, and that's who the Cats have Monday night.
Monday night here.
You'll be listening to, what time can we hear the broadcast?
That's at 7 o'clock, 6:45 pregame Monday.
And who does that halftime show?
Halftime show would be the Carm.
At the Carm. That's awesome. He's down in Atlanta now, and mm-hmm. Adam Hogue is down in Atlanta now. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to do Super Bowl week a lot. I wrote a little piece. I wrote for The Athletic sometimes. I wrote a little piece. So pull up a chair. Pull up a chair, as Val Kilmer would say. This is called the J Factor. This is like, you know, written by a gambler for gamblers. It's for the Athletic this weekend. My dad has type A blood. My mom's blood type is B. When I was born, my mom, the doctor, the nurse, everybody but my dad was surprised to find out what they drew from my infant body. I had gambling in my blood. Through 52 Super Bowls, I've only had a chance to bet on the Bears twice. A lot of times, even though my favorite team wasn't playing, I bet on who I wanted to win rather than who I thought was going to win. Like last year, who wasn't caught up in Philly fever? Like this year, outside of New England, his parents' house in San Francisco where the Bradys live, the retirement homes in Arizona and Florida, and what I'm guessing is a surprisingly dull party at Ben Affleck's house. Please, Ben, can't we wait until the game is over to talk about who the best Batman ever was? Who is cheering for New England? Not I, said the Ram. Now, some sports books have it at 3. Most right now have the Patriots as a 2.5-point favorite over Los Angeles. There are many reasons to bet New England, but here's my favorite reason you should bet the underdog Rams to win the game straight up. Are you familiar with the J factor? Through 52 Super Bowls, the first letter of the quarterback's first name that has hoisted the winning trophy the most is the letter J. It started with two legends, Namath and Unitas. It moved to college stars. Heisman Trophy winner Jim Plunkett won it twice, Joe Theismann once. Then, in the greatest big game ever, Super Bowl XX, the punky QB himself, Jim McMahon, who became the first quarterback to have two rushing touchdowns in the Super Bowl, as he rode shotgun alongside the greatest defense in Super Bowl history, along with the greatest running back ever to play the game, won himself a Super Bowl. A backup Jay has won it, Jeff Hostetler. Two of the greatest to ever take a snap from center left the biggest stage in sports victorious. Joe Montana four times. John Elway, who waited for his last two seasons to win it twice. What a way to go out. The last Jay to win the big game was when the Ravens knocked off the 49ers in the Harbaugh Bowl. Joe Flacco parlayed Baltimore's victory into a ridiculously large contract. Now, do you ever wonder if when Jim McMahon runs into Joe Flacco, they have some secret handshake for quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl because they were playing with a superior defense? Unfortunately, Rex Grossman only learned the opening part of that handshake. Now, put all those together, and Jays have won 14 Super Bowls. That's more than a quarter of the Super Bowls played that have been won by a quarterback whose first name starts with a J. Ironically, and Bears fans know this all too well, there's never been a quarterback named Jay who started and won the Super Bowl. Now, you'll take a letter, take a guess at what letter is second. T, as in Tom Terrific. Even though a lot of people, including me, are sick of that guy, we can't afford to see him win again, and we can't stand the fact that he's got that perfect smile with perfect teeth, great kids. Oh, and let's not forget the internationally successful, phenomenally gorgeous supermodel that makes more money than he does that he calls his wife. We'd be fools, though, if we didn't acknowledge the fact Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, and he has five Super Bowl rings to prove it. Terry Bradshaw, who despite the beating his Steelers were giving the other teams rarely came out of a game, has four. Troy Aikman, who was one of the triplets in Dallas, has triplet Super Bowl rings because he's won three. The only quarterback whose first name starts with a T that only won one Super Bowl? Well, now we go back to that spectacular defense thing I was talking about. That would be Trent Dilfer, who opened the scoring of his Super Bowl against the Giants by throwing a touchdown pass to Phil McConkey. Dilfer has one. Put them all together and you get 13, which is exactly a quarter of all Super Bowls played. So more than half the Super Bowls played have been won by just two letters at the start of the first name, the J and the T. This year, Tom Brady has a chance to tie the Jays. But he had that same chance last year and didn't. So I'm not saying take the Rams because there's finally a coach brilliant enough on the other sideline to outwit Bill Belichick, or they're loaded with offensive weapons like Gurley, Cooks, Woods, and now C.J. Anderson. My reason isn't Brady hasn't had this fierce pass rush coming after him all season long with four first-rounders, including Aaron Donald, who led the league in sacks. Yes, a defensive tackle who had 4.5 more sacks than J.J. Watt. Or that they have better special teams, including two wonderful kickers? Nope. My angle is that the Rams quarterback, Jared Goff, has a first name that starts with a J. If you think about it, the J is looking pretty much like he's got a chance to make a few trips back to the big game in the not-too-distant future. Goff figures to get back there. There's Tony Garoppolo, the 49ers. I don't know about Jameis Winston, but the Joshes, Rosen and Allen, seem to have a shot because they're immersed in talent. As for a letter T, there's only Brady. There's not another starting quarterback in the league whose first name starts with a T. Now, I wouldn't put it past him to win this year and again next year, and suddenly the T's have catapulted ahead of the J's. But if you're looking for an angle, a reason to believe why the Rams will do the Patriots what the Patriots did to the Rams 17 years ago when they were the dog, and that is win straight up, put your money on the Rams. There's going to be $6 billion bet on that Super Bowl on Sunday, and I simply ask this one question, WWJB, who would Jesus bet? We've got to get out of here. I appreciate the fact that Todd Manley let me come and play this morning with you guys. We will say our goodbyes.